Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
Hidden away in the $3.5 trillion spending bill, I believe it's page 168, the Democrats have included enforcement abilities for the vaccine mandate with fines between $70,000 per infraction, upwards of $700,000 per infraction. Basically, what they're saying is, if you oppose us, we will nuke your company. Because, look, a company might have 100 employees. But let's say, you know, let's say they're bringing in with 100 employees, 7-8 mil per year, and their profits are only 15% of that or something like around there. They're basically saying, if you don't do as you're told, we are going to absolutely destroy your life. The suffering is the point. Now we're hearing that Border Patrol agents are being given the choice. Either you get vaccinated or you lose your job. You know why that's really funny? Because they don't have the same standard for the illegal immigrants the Border Patrol agents are trying to stop. So everything is just backwards, broken, upside down. But despite all that, there are a lot of people that are really optimistic on the right and those who are in opposition to the establishment, more populist individuals, because the abysmal ratings, approval rating for Joe Biden signals in 2022 Republicans are going to sweep in. The only problem with that is, like, who expects Republicans to do anything? So we'll talk about that. But we're hanging out with the Illinois boys.
That's right.
We got Jack Murphy.
I actually decided to come back.
And my friends, I just want to, just so everybody knows.
Against my wishes.
We are giving Jack a 40-year scotch to make sure we have a great show.
I refuse. I will have none of this amazing, delicious, world-famous, incredible, best scotch I ever had. I'll have no more of
it. Is it the best?
He didn't have a sip of it before the show. Yeah.
It was pretty good. But I made it back. You know, Tim, I got a lot of messages. They said to me, it has been a good run on TimCast there, Jack. That's what people said after the last show.
But did people really think I was like, Jack's never allowed because he was arguing with me?
That's what he said to me. Tim was in my DMs. He's like, dude, you guys were both talking so much crap about each other in my DMs.
Right, back and forth.
It was pretty brutal, yeah.
Pace them together.
And then I was like, Seamus, tell Jack he can come back on the show only if he promises to drink more scotch.
Right, exactly. And here it is, a bottle of scotch.
Seamus is like, I'm not the middleman. Just talk to him.
I was on the line with both of you, like my little rotary phone laying on my bed with my feet up. And then I would like switch back and forth between calls.
Hold on.
You're not going to believe what Tim just said, Jack.
Let me click over real quick.
Click over. Oh, man, we're old.
Right. I'm so glad I was able to patch this up between you guys. We had like a little mediation before the show.
Yeah, exactly right. We all held hands and had
a in all actuality, the last time Jack was here, we had this debate over, you know, family and mandate and government and politics. And I think the response was brilliant. It was just a lot of people either agreeing with one or the other. I got a bunch of messages saying, Tim, you're so out of touch, or Tim, I agree with you. And I saw similar things about Jack, but it was a really great conversation, went viral.
Yep.
And so that's good. That's you know, we don't see that between the cult, right? The establishment narrative, it's in stone. It's static. It can't be moved. But here we have these conversations, even when we get heated, and then we have more. We come back. We do it again.
Yeah, it was a conversation that people needed to hear. People want to hear it. I got literally hundreds of emails, thousands of tweets at me. And, you know, I got to say that everyone that said something in public was kind of snippy. But everybody that sent me something in private was very heartfelt. And so it's just clearly a debate that's ongoing, and a lot of people are dealing with it.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, how I was like, whoa, amazing.
It was epic.
Yeah.
Well, let me introduce myself in case anybody forgot who I was. I'm Jack Murphy, and we're doing this really cool thing called Jack Brunch. We're traveling around the country. We're having brunches on Sunday afternoon, right after church.
Good.
We scheduled at 1 o'clock. So, Seamus, you come after church, come after Mass. And we had one in Chicago, and we just had one in Jersey City. We didn't do it in New York City. Why? vax mandates. Mm. So we did it in Jersey City. We had an amazing turnout. We're doing one in Tampa on the 10th and one in Nashville on the 24th. Austin after that. Check it out. JackedBrunch.com. Hope to see you guys there. Also, mark it down. February 27th.
That's right.
Washington, D.C.
I'm committed.
The final stop on the tour is going to be lit. JackBrunch.com.
Right on. We also got James Coughlin.
That's right. That's my real... He just deadnamed me. I thought we were past that. I was like, I'm going to go with an edgy, weird performer name, and we changed it to Seamus. But
Jimmy McNamara.
Good old Jimmy Mac. That's what, like, half my cousins are named. It's what almost everyone in Chicago is called. Jeez. We were talking about this before the show. Am I going to spoil the cast castle if I let people know what the conversation was?
Oh, that was
we'll
the green
room.
We'll
let them watch it. Oh, it was the green room. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm Seamus Coughlin of Freedom Tunes. Happy to be here with my Illinois boys. This was put together on late notice. Somebody tweeted me saying, at Seamus, at Jack, look, I saw this sign while I was traveling that said Illinois on it. It reminded me of the Illinois boys. I was like, we're getting back together.
Here we are. And the band is back together. Yeah, the band's back together.
That's right.
I've been giddy about it for about 24 hours. Had to restrain myself from tweeting it out until about 10 minutes ago.
We wanted it to be a little bit of a
surprise. I noticed that you actually dressed. And
yeah, this time I did.
And you're actually wearing pants.
Yeah, but don't think too deeply into it. My pajamas are dirty. Yeah, this is my last case scenario. I wear jeans if everything
I went to, I went to Ian's room to tell him that Seamus was coming back with Jack, and he was sitting in his yoga pose, levitating in the middle of his room, light emitting from his eyes, and I was like, it was a loud boom, and I'm like, Ian,
like through the void, I could hear him,
and then I was like, Seamus is back, and then he lands. And the light fades, and he was like, oh, cool.
I got to jump in the shower.
I'm the only person I'll shower for. It's lovely.
All right, well, how about
I didn't shower today.
We'll get into the news. But don't forget, go to timcast.com, become a member. We'll have a member segment coming up around 11 or so p.m. Plus, man, we've got so much going on.
Yeah.
Because of your support, we've got two nonprofits. Because we're not in this for the bucks. We're in this for the mission. So we've got one is going to be about fact-checking and doing journalism, fact-checking the fact-checkers. One is building network technology that is open source and free that can allow people to make a living and connect with the social network decentralized. So with your support of TimCast.com, this is what we're funding. You know, we're absolutely trying to build things outside of the for-profit model, even though we should be capitalists. I think we're doing well, but we want to give back. We want to make something that's long-lasting. So again, TimCast.com. But don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. All right. Now that we're done with all of that, let's read news.
The audience can practically repeat that back verbatim.
Verbatim. Tim, oh, yeah. It's funny. You were mentioning fact checkers, and earlier you were also mentioning that migrants were not being tested or being allowed into the country without being tested for COVID, and we have different standards.
I didn't say that.
Oh, no?
No, I said they don't have a vaccine mandate.
A vaccine mandate. That's right. That's right. You're correct.
Some of them are being
tested.
I
got that tangled because I was reading a Snopes article which rated the claim false that illegal immigrants are being let into the country without COVID testing. It says mostly false. And then when you read the section that says what's true at the bottom, it says there are also many reports of lack of testing in ICE detention centers. So like they literally are letting people in. But they find a way to spin it. The way they spin it is, well, they're not behind the surge in cases across the country, which isn't the claim that they say they're debunking.
Right. We had Jorge and Sagnik on the other day who were literally down at the border who would literally stand in front of these people and say, were you tested? And they go, no. Hmm. Like, why would they be? But it's that specific issue, and we'll get to this story in a second, is Border Patrol agents have a vax mandate, and the people who are just entering the country illegally, like...
Yeah, well, and also, like...
All right, this country is doing fine, I guess.
Like, the idea that you could just adequately test 220,000 people per month pouring over the border, that's incredibly difficult.
They can't
no one's
going to
slip
them
through
all.
Yeah, exactly.
This country's busted. Well, let's read about this over at Forbes. We got this story. Biden's vax mandate to be enforced by fining companies $70,000 to $700,000. Yo, Biden declared this by edict. $14,000 fine per infraction. Now it's 70. And if it's a willful repeated infraction, $700,000.
Insane.
Is this got passed in that $500?
Is this proposed?
500 page bill?
It's in the $3.5 trillion spending bill.
Okay, I feel like they are deceiving us to pass laws now. That they are
now?
Yeah.
Really?
But yeah. As of this moment.
Now, yeah.
Are
well,
you
they've
sure?
been doing it, but now
Ian,
I feel like
on.
It.
That's a little crazy.
That was
no conspiracy theories here, guys.
They're
no,
sneaking it in.
Snope says that's false, Ian.
Yeah.
You know, so but this is the you know, when I see Ian say something like this, I see this cherub little face and these bright eyes being like, the government wouldn't lie to us to pass laws.
Yeah, I'm the normie getting and the light bulbs going on.
Right. So that's my point, right? I mean it with respect. Like, we've been watching them do this crazy stuff forever. The 5,000 page omnibus bill, where it's just like nobody knows what's in this.
I think it should be a federal offense to vote on something you don't read as a representative.
Ooh,
I agree. Yep. You want to pass
but
a law,
but then they couldn't make their like bills thousands of pages long.
Yeah. Oh, they could, but you just couldn't vote on it.
Okay, so this is an actual piece of legislation that's before the Congress at this moment in time.
Oh, they voted. I don't know if they voted on it yet. They voted to spend the debt limit.
Right. So this is one of those things they're going to go through reconciliation or whatever. I don't know what the parliamentary processes are. But at least this is going before Congress. Right? So at least this is something that our representatives are allegedly voting on, that they have some knowledge of. They're voting on this.
And we can count on them.
Right. No, I'm not saying this is a good thing, but I'm saying it's just slightly different than the CDC mandates, right?
Like
or the OSHA.
Yeah.
The OSHA mandates. Like, this is actually going to be a law, which makes it 10 times worse because it actually legitimizes it, because our representatives are going to vote on it, and then it will actually become a legitimate law.
Look, within reason, I'm okay with the legislature being like, we have decided we'll pass this law, but that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is the Democrats are like, you know, normally this wouldn't pass because you'd have opposition from Republicans, but it's a spending bill, so we're gonna just slide whatever into this 2,465 page bill that no one's gonna read. And then journalists started reading it, and then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you want to fine people $700,000 for not mandating vaccines at the workplace?
And this is for 100 employees or more. This is for every company, for anybody that hires anybody.
A lot of people are about to have 99 employees.
Right.
Oh yeah, I mean, just think about it. You have an HR department. Nah, there you spin them off into a subsidiary HR company.
Well, like you were saying, Jack, a lot of people are gonna hire like Indian citizens, people from wherever in the world that's not the United States, because it doesn't fall under the same sort of mandates.
Right. I mean, if you wanted to ask me, I would then open up a business overseas. I would live here in the United States. I'd domicile it overseas. I'd have all the intellectual property over there, and I'd have that company hire people from wherever remotely. And what do you know? I'm not even an American company anymore.
Well, Jack, I think that's un-American of you.
Well, it certainly is.
I think you should stay here and let the government do whatever they want to.
Just bend over, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Take that sword right off the wall. Yeah.
That is Link's master sword, okay? Yeah. It is for defeating Ganon.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to do if Ganon comes up here?
Yeah,
you're not going to be making jokes about the sword then.
I'm going to throw Ian down right in front of him.
Yo.
I'm a pariah.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/timcast. netsuite.com/timcast. One more time, that's netsuite.com/timcast. Time is our most precious commodity. And I've heard from so many of my listeners who have asked for my advice about how they can spend it wisely to improve themselves and the people around them. That's why I'm excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it was undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. The course is self-paced so that you can start whenever and wherever. Enroll now in Constitution 101. Our country needs more Americans who understand the Constitution and can defend the freedom of the American people against the encroachments of an increasingly large and unaccountable government. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Tim to enroll. There's no cost, and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Tim to register. hillsdale.edu/Tim. I tweeted something out. I got, this is interesting. I tweeted out a question and I got a ton of retweets. I said, it was mask mandates, then vax mandates. What comes after the vaccine mandates?
Mm. Booster mandates.
So I saw that's some snarky response. Yeah. It was the end of the pandemic.
That was,
oh yeah.
No, I said they're going to let us go. They're going to let, it's going to be fine. Yeah. 15 days to slow the spread. And then what?
So I was at the airport and I was taking my shoes off to go through security. And I thought to myself,
wait, hold on.
Just one more person takes their shoes off.
I was taking off my shoes and my belt and my jacket to go through airport security when the guy noticed I had a small shampoo bottle and a bottle of water. Well, so I went to go throw it away and then he found nail clippers and then I was being detained and they're asking me questions. And
did you, know, I was trying to think, like, it's always been this way, right? It's always been this way.
Always. Well,
you never could just get on a plane before.
Yeah.
No, you always had to do that. That's what, I guess in 20 years they'll be saying
isn't
the
it,
same thing.
Isn't it crazy? And they've
thwarted so many potential terror attacks, the TSA.
Totally.
All the time.
About as many droplets have been prevented from spewing all the
droplets. But hold on. There is something after vax mandates.
What is
that? It's the passport. So here's what's going to happen. Here's my prediction. Well, YouTube just announced, and we'll get into those. We'll maybe talk about a bit more censorship in a minute. But they announced they're banning all this anything that's anti-vaccine or whatever, because they go through they take routes. The establishment, whether intentional or not, this is the way authoritarianism flows. Routes that are reasonably hard to disagree with. So like vaccines, well, most people are like they're good. So they use that as a path towards, the special interests, politicians, corrupt individuals, over time, just a natural pressure, will start to impose restrictions. But you don't want, the average person is like, well, I'm not against vaccines, right? So they accept we all get vaccinated. Like Bill Maher said, he's the perfect example. I took one for the team. That's what he said. And I'm like, well, you should go to a doctor. I mean, you shouldn't just because your friends told you to. But see, here's what's going to happen. Do you guys remember when famous libertarian Robby Suave tweeted that if there was a choice between masks and a business with a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate, I would choose the vaccine mandate because I'm already vaccinated. And a lot of IDW types people were like quoted this and said, this is exactly what we're saying. It's not unreasonable to get vaccinated. Most people are like, okay, I'll do it. So you get someone like Bill Maher saying, sure, why not? Then once everybody has it, 98%, like Biden says, they're going to say, just get the app. The app's easier. You lost your card. You get the app. It's no big deal. You just get the app. It's easy. And then you're like, well, I mean, I'm already vaccinated, so it's going to be easy. I'll just download the app. And then I got the app. And then the mandates don't go away. The IDs of the businesses don't go away. And then you have the health app. And then all they have to do is roll out updates. They have the real estate. They have the precedent. And they can roll out any update they want whenever they want. And one day you'll open the app and it'll be like, did you get your new, MDC5, checkup and vaccine? And you're like, I don't know what that is. And then an alert will pop up saying, go to the doctor now to be in compliance. You have 1 week. And people will be like, okay.
That's disgusting.
That's the precedent. Yeah. Did you guys see that propaganda on Twitter where it's like...
On Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. Believe it or not.
There's nothing sacred anymore?
What? Like, I just was noticing that every time I went to search... All it was the same image of Biden's plan as recommended by.
Thank you.
It was there for days.
Yeah, me too.
There was a law professor who said, did anybody notice this weird thing on everyone's homepage that says legal experts say Biden's plan is lawful according to precedent?
Yeah. Which is what you have to tell people all the time when you're doing something legal.
Yeah.
Right. Look, everything I'm doing is perfectly legal. If you have to say that repeatedly, it's probably a good sign.
Yeah. This law professor was like, this is disinformation. Like, it's not true. And Twitter... And it was really funny because it was like, kind of Ian was like, they're passing laws by lying to us. This guy was like, am I just now realizing what's going on? Has this been happening before?
Oh.
And I'm like, dude.
That's sweet.
Twitter once put up on their what's recommended page for like a week a story about me stealing a cat, which was completely made up.
Wait, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
They said you stole a cat and that was Twitter's story for a week?
Twitter had on the what's happening like Tim Pool accused of stealing cat. I'm like, it's fake. It's not real. These things aren't true. But people just want to – that. For I have no idea why Twitter ran that. It was amazing. Like, it just, you know, look.
It's way funnier when it's someone you know, too. Just like the front.
But look. It's funny in how absurd it is. But think about a law professor. I mean, maybe this is good news. He's like, all of a sudden going like, wait a minute. They're lying to me. It's like, oh, you just figured that out. Mm-hmm. We need more people to figure that out.
Emergent awareness. That's, I think that's people have been saying like that we're funneling towards an inevitability and that inevitability is the awakening of our consciousness.
Who says that?
His name is something Wood. He said he was like a CIA ancient. I think he might be like a BS artist. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, BS artist.
But I like what he's saying.
Twitter experts. Exactly.
Yeah. What's his name? Something Wood.
Is he the one that said Tim stole a cat?
He was like a guy that the CIA would have. Well, according to him, the CIA had him like doing secret operations in the 90s and stuff. And he said part of it was that this Operation Looking Glass, I think is what it's called. Mm. Project Looking Glass and Yellow Book. And they would try and like remote view the possible futures. And that all
Stargate.
Of a sudden. That's in Stargate too. It's a Stargate program as well.
Stargate was the government.
No, he's saying you watched Stargate and thought it was real.
Both. No.
Foundation actually.
Stargate was actually they were trying to do psychic experiments in the army and stuff.
Yeah, like and that. Apparently
the men who stare at ghosts.
As around 2012, mm-hmm. things started to converge, and they can't really see any other possible future than this one that we're headed towards, which is singularity, awakening of consciousness, or but they're preparing
like
for the other reality of like, are we going to have to live underground? Because of some holocaust on the surface, like some horrible
solar flare,
yeah, or yeah, whatever firestorm or whatever.
I don't know about all that. I mean, that's you see, we were talking about like the establishment politicians lying to us, and then Ian just like
sent the awakening, like you're saying about
100
it's because of the
times beyond
this emergent awakening is like inevitable. Like Trump woke people up in a way that like was uncomfortable.
All right,
but
bringing it back,
20 minutes ago, Ian was like, "Wait a minute, maybe politicians lie to us." Now he's like, "The CIA has this thing where they're putting people in this." That's how the rabbit hole starts.
Yeah, one step, we're taking one step.
He
down
did it.
He advanced
fast.
Really quickly.
Here's what you guys need to understand: is right when we're sitting here talking, and we're going through a conversation. Ian calculates very quickly everything we're saying. And so to someone who doesn't understand, I mean this sincerely, to someone who doesn't, you can't know what Ian's thinking, when he all of a sudden says the CIA program, there was a thought process where he was like, the lies, the manipulation, mm-hmm. people have come out speaking out against it. And then Ian jumps into
I must have fallen down a wormhole here because Ian said something crazy and then Tim not only defends it, but explains it and rationalizes it. Instead of just start screaming.
Instead of going, Ian.
It must be your moderating influence.
That's what I do here.
Famous Seamus.
I help misinformation spread.
You know what I think it really is? I think it's that, you know, Seamus and Jack have been imbibing some fine 40-year scotch and they're just,
that's
they don't
true,
realize.
Honestly.
They're inebriated, so they can't realize this is normal.
I also have I don't feel any tension.
Basically, Tim is deep. Can I say the R word?
Stop. No.
Is it on the list?
So.
Can I say
No, don't you dare.
Is there a roofie in here?
I am a good host who has provided a 40-year single malt scotch
whiskey.
This is
delicious.
My friend
is one of the best whiskeys I ever had.
And I got to just make one comment, too. I noted in your liquor cabinet 2 weeks ago that you had this incredible gin, the Botanist, 22-year-old gin. It's like, you know, I really love a good aviation, just like an old-timey drink with creme de violette in there. And I come back 2 weeks later, and not only is there creme de violette, but there's an actual bartender behind the bar saying, "Sir, would you like an aviation?"
Right. He's actually the executive editor of TimCast.com.
I don't need to know that. Chris. I don't need to know that. I just need to know that I had a very tasty aviation,
fine,
which is a really fine drink.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is you know why this is a good conversation? Because we're not wallowing in pity and self-defeat because we're watching this.
Let's get back to that.
No, that's two, two drinks from now.
It's two drinks from now. I don't know. Do you guys feel, how do you feel? Optimistic, pessimistic? And let me just preface this with, we had Dr. Robert Murphy on, economist, smart guy. And man, that conversation was brutal. He was like,
oh wait, Robert Murphy? Bob Murphy? Nice.
Murphy.
Awesome.
My other cousin.
Yeah.
He was, right? Check it out. He said, the reserve requirements for banks to give out loans has been removed because of COVID. And then I was just like,
wait, there's no reserve requirement?
No!
They did it like on a Friday night at 10 p.m. Whoa,
just why on Sunday?
Sunday.
Wait. So there's not even a fractional reserve system anymore? It's a no reserve system now?
They just print money like, now. It's literally just fraud. It's literally right. just fraud. That's called fraud. You're just loaning out a bunch of money you don't have.
That explains why the reverse repo rate is like $1.2 trillion daily now.
What does that mean?
It's where like the banks and the Fed like swap securities and swap money in order to back up the fact that they've loaned out all their money and don't have anything on the books.
Which is actually good for the economy in the long term, I hear. Yeah.
Oh, was that right?
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
The economy being gold, mm-hmm. Bitcoin, land.
Yes. No, that's true. I mean, I'm not going to give financial, I was about to give myself financial advice, but there's a little sheet here that tells me not to give financial
that's
advice.
That's true.
But I would never dream of it.
No.
But you almost work for Goldman Sachs, so I'm saying.
That's true.
No. You can give financial advice. Oh. It's just you're legally like.
You're bound.
No, that's liable. Financial advice, I mean. You can give financial advice, legal advice, or medical advice, but then you're liable for like, you know, someone will be like, Seamus told me to take the fork.
And would it be the stream that it was set on would also become liable? So like there's chains of liability if you start doing it?
No.
Basically, you're going to go back to your pajama
What we try to tell people is like, when we're talking about Bitcoin and stuff, make sure you're like, I'm not advising you on anything.
Yeah.
That's on you. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't say anything then. Before the show, we were talking about doing a bit. I was like, what if we just like make up a bunch of random ingredients to say in the vaccine just off the top of our heads? That would be great for Tim's channel. Just like Flintstones
YouTube,
gummies, dude.
YouTube,
no one laughed.
So I guess it wasn't that good of a bit.
I felt the tension in the room. I was like,
and Tim was like, no. Tim was like, I will shoot you.
These guys are all drunk.
What? I'm sober.
I got to say, I'm very optimistic. I'm way more optimistic today than I was yesterday. I realized last night that I thought I'd been building out the Fediverse because we've been working on this decentralized social media app, basically, that's going to connect people. What we're really building is the Metaverse, which is ultimately artificial intelligence, augmented reality, finance, and social media conglomerating and do it like an Internet 3.0.
But we're starting with...
We're building the first leg of it, which is the Fediverse social media aspect of it.
Decentralized, self-sustaining social media tools for people who want to run their own, you know, have their own internet presence in any capacity.
It's going to be epic. And other people are building the other legs as we're doing it. And I'm finding today that people are contacting me and then we're merging, you know, software.
This is why crypto is so important right now. I want everyone to remember exactly Jack's reaction when he was like, there's no reserve requirement for banks.
I had not heard that.
The price of Bitcoin went up when he said that.
Here's the crazy thing, too. Like, we talked about this with Bob Murphy. The M1 money supply, you can watch it just go forward and it just, like, skyrockets.
Yeah.
And everyone always goes, Tim, you're wrong. They just changed the definition of how they define money supply. And then you look after they change the definition and it's skyrocketing in like a 90 or like an 80 degree angle. And I'm like, yo, this is why all the ultra wealthy people are buying properties sight unseen in places like West Virginia and Idaho.
You know,
let me just say real quick, just one point. If you've been tracking the real estate market, I don't know if you've seen this, Jack. I'm calling agents because we're like, we want to expand. We need more space. And the stories I'm hearing, agent says, I got a call the other day. They said, I'll take it. And I was like, do you want to set up a meeting? Do you need financing? They're like, no, I said, I'll take it. And they're like, do you want to see it? No, I said, I'll take it. Where do I wire the money? Like that. Because people who live in these big cities who have cash know the cash is worthless. And they're like, I need to get this in something that's a guarantee. Land. Land's a guarantee. For the most part.
I bought a bunch of
cheese. I gotta go.
Yeah, no, but then the question is, so I think we would all agree that inflation's occurring and is going to get worse, but the question is, will the real estate bubble outpace inflation?
People gotta live somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think, yes. I think it will. I think there could be a crash, but I'm not a financial expert.
Look, if you just value the land in terms of dollars, you have a fixed amount of land.
Yeah.
And you get more dollars. Well, it's just going to go up in dollar value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's a bubble, though, and that bubble pops, and then the property's worth significantly less.
Right. The bubble in 2008 was because there was lax underwriting standards. You could get loans if you had no income. You had no assets. Yeah. You could lie about everything, ninja loans, et cetera. So that was a bubble created through a lack of underwriting and regulatory oversight and stuff. This is just straight price inflation because there's just more money chasing a fixed amount of product. Mm.
And so you are giving me financial advice.
I am just clearly talking about economics. That's it. In finance.
I'm thinking
almost the same thing.
You know, I'm looking at crypto. I'm looking at crypto prices. I'm looking at the manipulation of the crypto market. I'm just thinking my attitude is, man, do I do not want to have US dollars.
Yeah, last night I went on a rock and stone frenzy and bought a bunch of opals. And I was like, wow, have you looked at an opal? It's silicon dioxide in water. Because they always
shame as hell.
If you're going to invest,
what are you talking about?
If you're going to invest your money, invest it in gold, silver, jewels, like gems. Gems are legit. Because I don't know, something about looking into a gem, like a really unique gem. Man, that
maybe
is just transformative.
Just please don't let that be your financial.
And land. But I was like, land or gems? Well, let's do both.
No, yeah, well, I'm giving you a hard time because you caught me very off guard there. I've never heard someone say that they're like investing in
gems. I was like, investing in gems. I didn't realize it until after I was doing it.
I will say maybe to that.
Yeah.
Assuming the system exists and inflation happens, then the value of these items will go up along with the value of most items.
Buy for $80, sell for $5,000.
You know what,
there's nothing like it on Earth.
And you know what? I don't think people are rushing for that the way they are for gold or silver.
Exactly.
Or land.
So maybe. I laughed at Ian, but now
I
he's
got
laughing
a lot of cheap opals
last
night.
I want everyone to just remember, it's going to be in like 5 years. You're going to be on the side of the road going like, I need opals, and Ian's going to walk up with a shiny suit encrusted in opal, spinning his opal cane, and he's going to be like, I got your opals.
Some
right,
opals
$50.
Contain up to 30% water.
Wow. And you'll drink that.
Let's pay for that.
Yeah. You can see it like refracts through the silicon dioxide. Okay, that's all I'm going to
say. Meanwhile, have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. 5347.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Meanwhile, wealthy elites are buying up land like crazy.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, we had Max Kaiser on the show. He said inflation was what, 14%. What they're telling us is 5%.
Yeah.
14%. So yeah. It's just like, you got to invest it in something. You got to put it somewhere. But if that's the case,
buy a brand new car.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Seamus, man, you were just, I got to say, like, Ian's opal thing kind of makes sense, but the car thing, geez.
Brand new. All right, only going to go up in value.
Automotive. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what would you guys think a regular person should do? I mean, how much does the average person have in savings? A few hundred bucks?
Well, that's a good question. Our economy has actually been designed over the past 50 years to disincentivize savings, so most people don't, and they'll come out here with these, you know. The left will tote these studies, and the right doesn't discuss it as often, but the left will tote these studies saying, oh, the average person doesn't have enough saved up to get them through an emergency if one occurs. And that's true. But what they don't point out is that is not the result of inadequate social welfare spending. The reason for that is because we are constantly inflating our currency, and people know that their money isn't going to be worth as much in the future as it is today. So you actually alter their time preference and make them more likely to spend in the moment. The idea behind this is that stimulates the economy. But of course, what you're doing is taking from the future because people aren't saving as much.
Yeah.
They're not, and they're also not learning to defer their appetites, which is a really important part of having a civil society.
Mm. And I thought you were just the cartoon guy.
Yeah, I know. Murphy thought I was an idiot. He's like, who's he still does, but he thought I said that nice.
Come on, Bobby Murphy.
So you're preaching temperance.
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
It is a virtue.
Yeah.
We talked about virtues.
Is that the
thing? Because here, I'm just going to say this. I know that personally, I don't really have expensive tastes besides the stuff Tim pays for, you know? So I save a lot of my money. No, I mean, I'm serious. I don't really have expensive tastes. I save a lot of my money. And now I'm looking, I'm saying, like, for the past 5 years, I've lived beneath my means and basically saved everything, and that hasn't done as much good for me as I thought it could have. I should have been spending that stuff on assets that would increase in value over time.
Well, you don't spend on assets.
Yeah, you're right. You invest. But the thing is, even if I was just buying stupid short-term pleasures, in some ways, if inflation gets bad enough, that almost would have been better.
Right, because you know you won't be able to afford it with that same amount of money.
What if you bought a house at, you know, 3.5% or something?
Yeah.
Or 5%, and inflation's at 14.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
you'd have been better off.
So here's the thing I don't understand, right? Like, I understand how they manipulate the CPI. I understand how they back out goods and services that are going up because they want to get to core CPI. I understand how they don't account for productivity gains. I understand how they game that system. But the one system that doesn't get gamed is the deepest and most liquid market in the world, which is the bond market, right? And the bond market right now says that you can borrow money at 30 years. I think it's what, like 5% or less. And so that person who is willing to borrow or loan you that money, all this millions and billions of dollars, is willing to loan you that money for 30 years. I don't know what the fixed rate is right now, but I think it's like 5% or less. At 5%. So the most sophisticated people in the world with the most amount of money, with the most at risk, with the most on the line, really, hedge fund managers, pension fund managers, all these people, they're willing to invest that money for 30 years at less than 5%, which means that they don't think that inflation is real.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, or maybe it's a machine. Maybe there's a sort of mechanization to how these systems go, and most people just go along with it. You've seen the movie The Big Short?
Well, yeah, I have, but just one more thought on that. Like, the financial markets are meant to be efficient, which is not always true. They're meant to have processed all available information, which is not always true as well. And these are the most sophisticated players making the most sophisticated decisions.
Yeah.
And the way that the 30-year interest rate is composed, right, it has a risk premium, and it has inflation expectations in there.
So you've seen The Big Short.
I sure have. I live The Big Short.
Amazing.
Like, I live movie. That. I was in real estate then. I was in fixed income.
People
know that.
People knew this was bunk. It was broken. It didn't make sense. But they didn't care. The machine was chugging along.
Well, I think they thought they could probably – yeah, and I think people assume I can still pull money out of a broken system in the short term, so I'll throw something into it, and I'll just get out before it crashes. They think they're going to be able to do that.
Right, but when you're loaning money away for 30 years, you're locking yourself in for 30 years. Yeah. This is a guy – these are people that have billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they're I'm going to give it to you for 30 years, and you only have to pay me 5%.
5% total on the capital? Wow.
So there's no built-in inflation expectation in long-term interest rates.
Well, hold on.
Is peculiar.
If you hold $100 and inflation happens and you lose buying power, you lose. If you lend out $100 and then 30 years later, well.
Right. Well, they only pay you 5%, so, but if inflation's 10%, you're losing.
But either way,
you lose. But it's still better. But it's still better than just holding on to the money.
Yeah. Right. But there are, these people are very smart. There are inflation assets that respond well to inflation, like real estate.
And they probably do have investments in that.
They probably do both. I think it's a way to hedge your bets. It's like a little bit of a safer way. Even though you don't get as much of a return.
I think what we're saying here is that the bond market is inefficient. That's the only conclusion we can be coming to.
I don't think, you know, I think people need to understand what money means to billionaires and to these even high millionaires.
It means never having to say you're sorry.
They don't think about $100,000. They don't think about a couple hundred thousand dollars. No, you think they do. They don't.
It's acceleration. It's a form of acceleration.
I've been to Lausanne, is that the name of the city, right, in Switzerland?
Lausanne, yeah.
Lausanne. Yeah. I have been in the penthouse suite of a billionaire, and it was just like they have this $50 million Swiss property that they just don't care about.
Sure.
But and it was like,
it's an asset. It's gaining in value.
Right.
They're fine with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they're looking at bonds, they're probably like, got to invest in something. It's better than holding cash.
It's entirely possible, but it is the most liquid, the deepest, and meant to be the most efficient market on the planet. So it's meant to reflect the sum total wisdom of all the financial players in the world.
Yeah, it turns out they're not that wise.
Look how 2008 turned out. Yeah, they're not that wise. That's probably it.
I'm not disputing. Again, I'm going to get in trouble with this. I was asking you questions about
Millie. We're not disagreeing with
you at all. I was asking you questions about Millie last week, you know, or last time. And people were like, you should have heard the way Jack was shilling for Millie. He's a traitor. I was like, dude, I was just asking some questions.
About chain of command, nuclear chain of command.
And by the way, the very next day I had on Cash Patel, the chief of staff of the Department of Defense, and asked him those questions in particular, just to get the whole thing out there. But no, it's just fascinating to me to see that maybe the financial system is broken.
So like, if you could take a loan, a bond loan of $1 million, and then invest that at 5%, invest that into something, and then double your money.
Well, no, that's the guy. That's the smart guy. You're on the other side. You're saying, I want to borrow at 5%. Heck yeah, I'll borrow.
They're
at 5%.
Just loaning out at 5% because they have access to infinite
No, they don't. These are private individuals. These are institutions. These are pension funds that are investing their money in, say, you know, the United States government, right? All these people are loaning the United States government money at less than 5% for 30 years, knowing that they're going to take a bath. I don't know.
Maybe it's an illusion.
I don't know. All of it is just kind of screwy. Look, all I know is I'm getting more real estate. I have real estate. I'm getting more real estate.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I didn't just say that's smart because that might be construed as financial advice, and I would never give that.
Just construed as love.
Look, we're expanding. We're buying land, and maybe it's a bubble. I really don't care. The last thing I want to do, watching the so the M1 money supply spiked because they said savings are unrestricted now. Savings accounts used to have limits. You could only transfer a certain amount of times.
That's right. We talked.
They
about
They got
this.
Rid of that. Yeah. And so I was at a bank recently, and they were like, "Do you want to open a savings or a checking?" And I was like, "Does it matter?" And they were like, "Well, I mean." It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, you know what? I just noticed that I transferred money out of my savings account, and usually it says you can only transfer 5 times a month or whatever, and it didn't say that.
Dude, you're right. They removed the gates that were restricting the flow, and now it's just unleashed, and rich people are snatching up assets like crazy, and poor people are going to be left holding an empty bank.
And this is what we were saying was going to happen years ago, right? I mean, I did a cartoon about this. Rich people got all the money from the ballot. They got these incredibly low interest loans or no interest loans. And then what they were able to do is buy up all the assets from small businesses that shut down because they had to go through the SBA, which was processing over the course of 2 weeks what they're used to processing over an entire year, or like 10 times what they're used to processing over an entire year. So a bunch of small businesses shut down. The millionaires and billionaires are able to buy all that stuff up.
Yep.
And then we end up with a massive consolidation of corporate power, and people go, we need to tax the 1%.
And so it goes. And
it's they made this problem.
And look at the lockdowns, the destruction of the small business. And now they're saying we're going to fine you. You know, these are still technically small businesses with 100 employees, but now they're coming after you. I mean, it is legit.
But there's so many weird forces at work too. Like right now, if you've got a renter in your property and they're not paying rent, you can't kick them out. So imagine you can't.
Yeah, that ended.
The CDC,
the Supreme Court issued another ruling and said, but either way, the second time Biden came out, you could have still evicted. So I'm hearing these stories where people are like, Biden said you have to get a vaccine. It's like him saying something means nothing. You'll go to a court and the courts will side with the Supreme Court's decision. So when the Supreme Court says, Biden, you can't do it, it's illegal. He can say it. You go to court and you'll be like, Your Honor, I'll cite the Supreme Court. And they'll be like, okay, agreed. Right. Biden's words are meaningless.
So you're saying right now, officially, the foreclosure thing is done. It's gone.
Yes. It really just depends on your jurisdiction. There's probably local judges who are going to be like, I'm going to say no, you can't evict. And,
gotcha.
But the Supreme Court's now said it twice. Mm-hmm. Right?
Interesting.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about the state of this country.
Yeah.
We got the story from TimCast.com. RNC sues two Vermont towns for allowing non-citizens to vote. The governor's veto of the measure was overruled by the state's legislature. They say Montpelier and Winooski recently altered their charters so non-citizens who immigrated legally could vote in municipal elections. How's that for you have no country?
That's like the opposite direction of where I want to go. I want you to have live there for 4 years before you can start voting there.
At least can you be a citizen first?
Yeah, you got to be a citizen and have some residence in the area where you're voting.
Wait, can you please say that to me one more time? Did you just tell me that there are jurisdictions in the United States where it is now legal to vote if you're not a citizen?
Yes, there are many, actually. There's a lot of them. I think Sacramento's got a couple. San Francisco's got a couple. Those are municipal elections. So there's like school board and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Look. The left will come out and be like, it used to be in this country you had to be a landowner to vote. Bigots. And it's like,
Matt, system.
Let's just break this down real quick. You're in the middle of the woods. There's a bunch of people walking around and you're like, all right, we're going to have a vote on what to do about that tree that fell down. And then a bunch of people walk up and they're like, I'd like to vote. Do you live here? Yes. Where do you live? Look, only the people who live here get to vote. Oh, that's racist. You're bigoted. It's like, the reason they did it, that they had that system, was because if you lived there, You voted.
But now you see, like, Matt Walsh has poked a big hole in that. Did you see? He wanted to go speak at Loudoun, I think it was Loudoun County.
Loudoun County, Virginia.
And then they wouldn't let him because he wasn't a resident. So he rented property, and he's like, now I'm a resident. But it's like, okay, he's showing that you really should have to live there for, like, 4 years, a long period of time.
I've actually looked into this a few times. Now, I want to have more clarification. I'm going to tell one story real quick. We've been looking at jurisdictions to buy land, maybe jurisdictions with not a lot of people in them that have sheriff offices and school boards and stuff. So maybe we move enough people there, we take over a sheriff's office, right? How cool would that be? So a lot of these jurisdictions, they own the requirement for voting is that you have moved there with the intention of remaining. That's it. Now, you're telling me that these could be non-U.S. citizens?
Yes.
Just foreigners that showed up, came to the meeting, and said, I'm here now, I would like to vote.
Yes.
Are they renting property? Is that...
The Montpelier bill allows what is defined as a legal resident of the United States to be able to vote in city elections. If someone is here on a permanent basis, why would he or she not want to participate in the process to become a citizen?
Okay, so they have to have a green card, I guess?
It says legal immigrants, yes.
I see.
It doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned.
Right, they're still not U.S. citizens.
You have to
be
a U.S. citizen, yes, exactly.
Yeah,
you don't. But you don't. The idea that you shouldn't have... No, I know.
It's really, really simple. They are... you know what, I got a friend... argue all the time because he was just all on board for Biden. He goes on Twitter. He goes on Facebook. He's screaming, Trump is bad. We got to vote for Biden. And then guess what he did a couple months after the election ended? He moved to Europe. That is the problem. When people are like, everyone, please vote for this thing. And then as soon as it happens, they're like, later, suckers. Wow. Now we're watching this free fall. Economic crisis, labor shortages, gas prices, inflation, the border, Afghanistan, and the people who vote for it, at least this one guy is like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Later, bitches.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I kind of get the idea of a locality maintaining its autonomy. And if they want to let foreign citizens vote in locale, then do it. Who's to say you can't, you know? But so maybe it should be on a pace. But I can imagine someone getting in there and co-opting it and being like, yes, now we can all.
Yes.
People are like, no.
Yeah. Well, pretty soon.
Here's the issue, Ian. You've got 10 people who live in a house and they want to vote for what's for lunch. They all pitch in every day. They put a dollar in the lunch bucket. And so they're like, okay, it's lunchtime. We got $10. What should we buy from? And then someone says, well, why don't we let, you know, Jim, he's our neighbor, he doesn't live here, but he can
Jimmy
vote
Mac.
Too. Jimmy Mac. So what happens is Jimmy Mac then says, I would like to vote that we allow my brother to vote as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's put it to a vote. When you allow someone from outside to vote on very specific internal issues, they will, of course, vote for their own interest. So when you say non-citizens can vote, they'll be like, I would like to vote in this election. Yes, I'd like to vote yes on allowing more people who aren't citizens to vote. Why wouldn't they? People are going to vote for what they think is best for them.
It's kind of like
community.
In that metaphor, it'd be like a house of 10 people and then like another guy moves in, an 11th person who doesn't, his name's not on the lease, but you give him voting power.
He doesn't even move in. It's the delivery guy who drops off lunch. He's at the door and everyone's like, well, we have to vote. Oh, we have to include him now. We have 11 people voting.
But this is people with green cards that live there in the community.
All right, but if someone's not a citizen, there's less of a guarantee that they're in it for the long run. There's less of a guarantee that they're going to be a citizen.
Let's try again. Okay. There's 10 people in a big house, and then, you know, Jimmy Mack is sleeping on the couch. Temporary.
No, he's not on the lease,
He's not on the lease. We don't know what his plan is. He's just crashing here. Half the people here are really pissed off about it, and they're like, dude, I pay rent. I don't want some dude. What if I'm going to have somebody over, and he's on the couch? And then they're like, okay, we all pooled our resources to buy a dinner. Well, he's here. He should be allowed to vote on what we eat. And you're like, oh, come on. And then what happens is there's a meeting in the house, and they say, who should be allowed to vote on what we eat? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we should allow him to vote too. It includes him. And then he says, I got some friends who are going to be hanging out. I think they should be allowed to decide. I mean, they're going to be here too. And then in a few months, all of a sudden, there's 15 people who don't live there outvoting the 10 who do.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have restrictions. Not because we hate people or we oppose freedom or we're bigots. It's because we're literally like, hey, economy means household management from the Greek oikonomia. So we're quite literally talking about managing the household in an effective way so that we are growing, not collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you allow people who don't live to come in, they're going to be like, I vote to eat his portion, and then they take it and they leave.
Yeah.
So people need to have ties to the community. So Yes, you have to live there for a certain amount of time or be a citizen. A legal resident is what they're talking about is eroding the system. Mm-hmm. You can live here, but you're not a citizen. You want to become a citizen? You can go through the process. Then you are a full-fledged member of our community. We're going to allow you to stay. So if someone wants to crash in my house and sleep on the couch for a little bit, that's fine, but they're not going to be voting on what, you know, cable provider we're going to be getting. If they want to move in, put a deposit down, pay rent, we'll talk about them being a full resident.
Or you could say people with green cards have to go through a different process other than citizens that will allow them to vote in their local community.
Well, no, if you're not a citizen, I'm just saying if you're not a citizen, you should not be able to vote. And it's not as if granting these people who are not American citizens the right to vote in any election is going to be the end of it and the left is going to go, okay, they have the adequate rights that we should be giving to non-citizens. They're just going to keep pushing to give them more voting power in other situations. They'll go, oh, see, we allow them to vote in local elections. Why not state elections? Why not national elections?
Right.
They do not stop.
Right. The new federal requirement for voting in a presidential election mm-hmm. will be, are you eligible to vote in any jurisdiction
yes.
in America?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And you know,
and then when the Republicans are like, "We don't think this is good," the Democrats are going to go,
"Racist!"
They're trying to stop people from voting.
They're suppressing voter rights. That's exactly what,
dude.
It is absolutely
insane when you look at how far our system of election has been eroded and destroyed. Mm-hmm. And now we're at the point where there's universal mail-in voting, which the left will tell you makes it easier for everyone to vote. It makes it easier for a whole first of all,
including people who shouldn't vote.
I'm not going to go there. I'm going to tell you this. When you live in a city with extreme population density, two activists can hit 1,000 doors, knocking on those doors, to advocate for their candidate, and a Republican would require 10 times the amount of distance and energy and money to cover because they're rural and they're spaced out. Mm. That alone should be a red flag as to why we need some kind of standard uniform process for voting that we actually assess. What I mean by that is it shouldn't be – well, actually, I should rephrase that. It shouldn't be just this blanket. Everyone gets to do X because it doesn't affect every area the same way. Money is used differently in different jurisdictions. The reason why the Democrats are so dead set, one of the reasons universal mail-in voting is not because, and I know a lot of people on the right get mad about this, mass fraud or anything. That's not it. There's certainly issues. A guy got arrested. He had 300 ballots in the recall election in his car. He got charged with forgery. That stuff happens. But one activist for the Democrats can go into one apartment complex and secure 1,000 votes by advocacy, which is legal and normal. But a Republican in a Republican jurisdiction has to cover 10 square miles, get the same amount of people. Meaning, no matter, the Republicans will have to spend 10 times the money or some exponentially greater to cover that ground. That system does not work. How about first past the post voting doesn't work? We need ranked choice or a different system. I don't even know if ranked choice is perfect, but it's probably better than what we got.
Yeah, it is.
And then you have to go to a voting station, and there should be voting stations set up per population. So if it's in a big city and it's for every 30,000 people, you set up one voting station. So that means in dense areas, you'll have 50 all within a couple blocks. And in rural areas, you'll have 15 within a couple blocks instead of just saying we mail it to everybody.
Yep. I was thinking, do we do it with one person, one vote? And the ranked choice kind of automatically does that.
Yeah, one person, one vote makes no sense.
It's not.
I understand why, you know, the founders may have thought that made sense back in the day. It's a very simple system. But it ultimately results in people being like, I have no choice but to vote for this awful person. Mm-hmm. If you were able to actually be like, here are my values ranked out, ranked choice voting is better. It's not perfect. There are still circumstances in which people vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, but I do think ranked choice makes more sense. I think Maine does it this way. I think I'm not sure. Maybe Nebraska. There's a couple of places that are implementing ranked choice.
Is this a new development or is this something that's been around for a while?
Ranked choice?
No. These non-U.S. citizens voting in localities.
So over the past couple of years, we've seen stories out of, you know, California and New York where they allow this. And they say it's just for, like, schools and things like this. It makes sense because they have kids in the schools. And you go, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. And the next day they go, look, the kids are in the schools. They're using the streets. They're driving on buses. They should have a say in how taxes are being spent. Their kids are already – they already vote on the school board. One by one, they will keep pushing until eventually it's like, how long have you been here, sir? Just got here 15 minutes ago from El Salvador. Here's your voter card, and thank you for choosing our president.
Yeah. No.
Well, you know, part of this comes from the Supreme Court decision that says that anybody that shows up on the schoolhouse steps must be educated. Right? Did you know that one point in time you had to be a citizen to get educated?
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, literally anybody who shows up at the door
and can say, can show that they live here. Like, here's my power bill or whatever.
You mean at a public school, though?
Public
right?
school.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Tax,
anybody
taking tax money out of
any citizen, no matter of immigration status, legal, illegal, whatever, you show up, you get an education, you get fed school lunch program, participate in after school activities, all the things.
And you know, back in the day, hundreds of years ago, there were no harshly controlled borders. You could walk on into New York and they'd be like, are you a citizen? No. And they'd be like, well, then you can't work here or you can't live here or things like that. But you could basically move about with little issue. Mm-hmm. And now I think people need to understand the exponential growth in population and what that really means. It changes things.
Yes.
However, the point was you could be there and they'd be like, look, we have citizens. The reason they're citizens is because we know who's a part of the community, who's pitching in, who's doing the work, who's serving in, who's being conscripted, who's in the fire brigade. Mm-hmm. We can't have some strange person who's not a part of this coming in and changing what we do, so they have these rules. I think people need to understand, though, the scale of population growth. There were 2 million people in the colonies at the time of the revolution. There's 320 million now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, it is insane. We see these massive protests. Yo, if an Occupy Wall Street protest, when they had like, you know, 20,000 people marching through the street, if that group of people were marching on a battlefield, they'd be like, what great country has such a mighty force? It's like, oh, that's just a bunch of college kids who are bored. Yeah, right. And, yeah. You know, yeah. And they'll be like, oh, so it'll be easy for us, except for their numbers. Population growth has been absolutely insane. Yeah, people don't, you know what I was thinking about too with population growth stuff? You used to, how many people did you know back then, hundreds of years ago, when there were barely any people? You'd know like 30 people.
Well, and you also weren't connected to everyone through the internet too. So
yeah. Yeah, you didn't know about the people in the next town over or on the other coast or around. Yeah. Mm. So you didn't, this is one of the impacts on the dating market actually, is that women can look in their phone and look at all of the most attractive men, the most appealing men from every city in America.
And vice versa. Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, well, I'm going to hold out for that guy. Mm-hmm. Right. But instead there's all these sort of like decent guys all around them. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm going to get that guy over there who's in California.
Not to be the feminist in the room, but I've totally seen
it. Yeah, you are.
I am. I've totally seen it go both ways though, where guys will be like, all right, I'm going to look at these women on the internet. At the woman. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. If you find someone who works better for you and they're not in your community, go for it.
But let's break down what's happening to women. You go on a dating app, they look in their messages, and there's like, they've matched with everyone they've chosen. So they're on Tinder, right? And they're like, ugly, ugly, attractive, ugly, attractive, ugly, attractive. They close the app and then goes, burr, 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 instantly three messages.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's happened to guys? Guys are swiping on literally every woman, hoping that one of them will like them and they can message them, but they don't message back. So here's what we end up seeing. The internet age has created two forks between the genders. Women who can choose the most attractive men, even unattractive women. This is crazy. The data from these dating apps shows that even women who are considered to be average or unattractive still get the top tier guys.
Yes.
So what happens to a guy who's a 7 out of 10? Mm-hmm. He's got a good career.
Couldn't tell you.
Moderately attractive. No, I can tell you. He goes on websites and looks up creepy, crazy adult content. And then just isolates, plays video games, and then thinks he's a subhuman.
And then he becomes a 6.
And here's the thing.
No. But here's the thing. The point I'm making is this is what I'm saying. There are two trees.
Yeah.
Women are getting to choose anyone they want, and men are getting nothing. And so they become addicted to creepy adult films and weird stuff. And then you get the hikikomori. You guys know what that is?
Yeah, it's Japanese kids, people that stay in their house all the time, right?
They lock themselves in their rooms. There was a viral, there's the r/Tinder, and there was a message where someone, like, messaged a woman, or I don't think it was Tinder, I don't know what, it was cringe, it was a cringe thing on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, messaging a woman saying, why do women claim they want, you know, intelligent men, but then choose, you know, really dumb, built guys? Why won't they spend time talking to us subhumans and things like that? There was this a story I read about incels, involuntary celibates, where apparently some like journalists actually found out they were all rather average dudes. They weren't subhuman. They weren't gross. They weren't ugly. They had good careers, but they thought they were because they could not get a relationship. Mm. This internet's doing is making it's polarizing. It's pulling out the extremes in basically everything, from politics to dating to economics. I mean, look at super stonks, look at the apes. Everything is dialed up to 11 because of the internet, because of the speed of communication.
Yeah. So here's, I want to throw this out there. I agree with you that the internet has accelerated a lot of those very unfortunate social changes, but I would say that that's a product of the sexual revolution and not the internet itself. The fact that people are pursuing meaningless sexual relationships and hooking up with other people rather than trying to get married and build families is a huge part of why women will gravitate to a smaller minority of men. In a natural setting, or in a decent culture, I should say, where people understand that the purpose of sexuality is unity and procreation and they want to get married and have children, you're looking for someone who's going to be a stable marriage partner and not necessarily the Chad or the Stacy, to use these terms. And so if you had the internet being used by virtuous people to find a decent spouse, we wouldn't have this problem. But what happens is someone's just, the woman may be looking for a spouse, to be honest, but the guys who match with her are not. And so then they end up having a lot of meaningless sexual encounters. And then when they're older, and of course there's no meaningless sexual encounter, right? There's some attachment that occurs and then it breaks off and everyone's hurt in some way. And she ends up unhappy because she doesn't find a long-term partner. She found some dudes who wanted to use her body. And then you end up with, like you said, a class of men who a lot of women won't talk to because, well, they are pursuing men who just want them for the short term. They're not looking at the guys who actually would be interested in being with them for the long term.
It's tough. As somebody that's not been in the dating market for a while, like 6 or 7 years, I do remember what it was like. And fortunately for me, I'm tall, I'm handsome, I'm successful. I did not have that experience. I had the opposite experience where there was a lot of opportunities, but I would talk to the women. I would like get their feedback, you know, and they were all miserable about it.
Yeah.
And the whole setup, I don't even know if people use those apps anymore?
Yeah. Tinder. Dude. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. Tinder, yeah.
I started using it in 2013 as a social experiment for Minds because we were looking at implementing dating software into the website, kind of like a chat roulette type thing. And then I kind of got addicted to it. I actually met a girl on OkCupid. We dated for 3 years. She's a good friend of mine to this day. And I still use it from time to time, but I feel so depressed and dirty when I do. And it's very ineffective, especially out in the country like this.
Well, yeah. like the idea of swiping on people like that,
right,
too.
It's such a quick decision.
Yeah.
I mean, I met my fiance. We're getting married next year. I met her. We've been together over, 7 years. I met her on OkCupid. And what was great about it is it was like a database. I could just be like, I like this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing and this thing.
You've seen the studies.
Back in the day, OkCupid was like you had a profile.
Yeah.
So you go on, and we're starting to see the emergence of these issues. OkCupid published a lot of data.
Oh, I saw.
They actually deleted one. They had a story about incels and ugly men, and they said if you're ugly, you're out of luck. And then they took it down.
OkCupid?
Yeah.
Well, they did a study where they found out based on the way men and women were selecting that men rate 50% of women as below average, and women rate something like 70% of men as below average.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there was this little known fact too that OkCupid sorted you into the good looking pile and the bad looking pile.
That's also sad. Yeah.
Right. So, like, if you got rated highly enough, they just put you in this whole other category, and all you saw were other people that were highly rated. And so, like, I once started a second account and like
put up bad pictures of yourself, uploaded pictures of me.
Well,
and
right?
Then you're like,
I started the second account, and I was like, wait, like I thought that there was just nothing but good looking women on OkCupid. And then I started the second account. I'm like, well, actually, that is not the case.
Someone actually requested that we build dating software with the Timcast model. And I think maybe if we could do like open source, so you see the algorithms not forcing you to look at what it thinks you
qualify for. Jacked Brunch, okay? Jacked Brunch, come down on a Sunday afternoon after church. There's like 50 dudes and a bunch of women, but 50 dudes, you know that they in like masculinity, they're into brotherhood, they're into sovereignty, they're red pilled, they're fit, they're strong, they make money, they're well dressed, and some of them are single. Come on down. We'll match make. JackBrunch.com.
Well, this is the other thing too. Even outside of the internet, unfortunately, many of the social avenues available for young people are very nefarious. And a lot of that is because we don't have a church-centered community in this country anymore. And so people will go out to a bar or a club to meet someone, which is not necessarily where you're guaranteed to meet a high-quality person who's going to be interested in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, I wonder what people's expectations are. And again, I have lived, like, I've gone through, like, a hedonist phase for many years, and I've explored all kinds of stuff, and I've come to the conclusion that, for me, I want to be in a long-term committed relationship, and that's why I'm getting married.
That's what you're made for.
So I've tested all the waters, right? I've seen all these things. And I can't imagine, like, the people's expectations. Like, are they warped? Like, guys think that they're going to be able to have a lot of girls and have hookups or whatever, or women think they're going to find their dream man. Like, people's expectations and the whole approach to it need to be moderated, which they're not, because the guardrails of the healthy community, like you're talking about, have been totally stripped away, and people are just floundering about sexual revolution, all these things.
I pulled up the blog from OkCupid, and this is what you see. Medium, error, 410. The author deleted this Medium story. And what was the Medium story? Well, there's an archive of it. It's not too hard to find. Gosh, as you can see archive. From the gray line, women rate an incredible 80% of guys as worse looking than medium. Very harsh. Oof. On the other hand, when it comes to actual messaging, women shift their expectations only just slightly ahead of the curve, which is a healthier pattern than guys pursuing the all but unattainable. But with the basic rating so out of whack, the two curves together suggest some strange possibilities for the female thought process, the most salient of which is that the average-looking woman has convinced herself that the vast majority of males aren't good enough for her, but she then goes right out and messages them anyway.
Well, I'll say this, though. I think, because they're rating men based on their appearance, I think women are much more likely to be with a man who they don't see as being inordinately physically attractive because they like his personality. I think that's way status. More likely to happen. Yeah, or his status.
Sure,
so even though they're even though they're rating a lot of these guys as below average, I think a lot of them, if they knew them in real life, thought they had good personality. Not all of them. I'm not up to lunch on this. People are selective, but I think a lot more of those people would get dates.
You're 100%
sure, right. Sure, yeah. Sure. But look, take a look. There was another viral thing I saw on Reddit. It was a Instagram model, you know, real versus like reality versus, you know, Instagram, and they like even put fake abs on this woman. And
that's
they, like,
horrible.
But so what happens is Instagram is making young women extremely depressed.
Yeah, making them hate their own bodies.
Yeah, but you know what? Marky Mark did the same thing to me with his Calvin Klein ads back in the 90s. Yes, so this has been going on a long time.
But did he Photoshop himself?
These
though?
Are
that's the question.
Fake. They're not real people. Like the hip to waist ratio, is it possible in a lot of circumstances? And when done right, what happens is it's not affecting guys the same way. Sure, guys are going to be like, that's attractive, and then it's going to skew their perception. But young women look at that woman and then base themselves off of something that doesn't exist. And now we're getting young women getting plastic surgery to look like Instagram and Snapchat filters.
Totally. But the same thing happens. Chris Hemsworth, he trains for 9 months for that one scene in Avengers where his shirt is off. Okay.
Yes. And then they think it's real.
And they think it's real. And then the rest of the time, he's, you know, not like that.
And they dehydrate.
Right, dude. Mm-hmm. They take drugs and they're on steroids and they're on growth hormone.
That's horrible.
Well, I'm not going to say that about Hemsworth.
Right. Not about Hemsworth.
Okay, fair enough.
But models and even fitness models who gear up for photo shoots to get the abs and the whole thing. That is like a multi-month process.
I agree.
To get to that stage. It's not normal.
Now we're at the point where you could at least recognize if I train hard and then don't drink any water for a day, you'll be able to see all these, you know, muscles. There was a photo, I think it was of, it might have been Chris Hemsworth on the beach. Oh, no, it was Jason Momoa, is that his name?
Yeah, Momoa.
And they were like, looking thick, what's going on with that? And it's like, the dude, and then someone pointed out, he's still actively training for the movies he's in. He's just not dehydrating himself. He looks healthy.
No, but on the same tip, though, like, guys, there are ways to raise your status. It is a ruthless game out there. It's ruthless, and you have to raise your status. But luckily, you can do it. You can get fit. You can get strong. You can raise your intellect. You can raise your financial status. You can dress better. You're competing globally.
Why do you look at me when he said all that?
I'm looking at the camera.
He's looking directly at me. He's like, you could look much better. You could have a better job.
You could comb your hair. You could take a shower. You could wear pants.
Hold on.
Hey, wait. I'm taking this personally.
No, it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal out there the latest Disney pop star says.
I think. Heather Hying and Brett Weinstein were talking about evolutionary biology of male and female gametes, and like basically, you can see it in plants. The male is not picky; it wants to give its stamen or whatever to every plant out there. But the female plants are very picky about what they receive because they can only, you know, just receive one.
Well, here's the thing:
they're the gatekeepers.
Well, yes, but here's the thing: that is true. But also, when a man is picking someone who he wants to marry, we have this culture where there's this dichotomy, right? You're either looking for someone to have like a meaningless sexual encounter with, or you're looking for someone for a more serious long-term thing. Historically, like if a man was looking for a marriage partner, he was going to be more selective than a lot of guys are when they go out and sleep around.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, women are the gatekeepers to sex. Mm-hmm. Men are the gatekeepers to relationships. Mm-hmm. Right, because the man decides to give up that urge of spreading the stamen.
Well, and even when it's not sex, I think you're right that even when it's not sex, like if you're in a community of like churchgoers, people who are saving themselves for marriage or don't have sex, there is still this element of the woman being the gatekeeper for like the initial interaction or the mutual interest, something like that. And then the guy is more the gatekeeper for whether it progresses down the path of being something serious.
Definitely.
I think we are going to see a substantial escalation in the transhumanist movement and not in the interesting sci-fi way, right? Transhumanist, back in the day, I remember when people talked about it. They were talking about cybernetic implants, sci-fi movies, integrating with Neuralink and virtual reality and things like that, which still could be pretty questionable. But now it's going to be identity crisis, which we're starting to see a lot of. For a while, there was like Otherkin, and I don't know if you guys know about like the Tumblr stuff where people, people would say like, they would claim to be an owl trapped in a human body or something like that.
I know this girl who's like really, really super into Tumblr. And she was telling me, no, I'm kidding, but, I remember all of the memes that used to float around about that stuff. And unfortunately, some of it seared into my mind, and the Otherkin were a really horrifying.
I was thinking what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I have had a theory for a while that the reason why we see declining, fertility rates in countries with advanced technology is because that we are moving towards some sort of evolutionary phase in which the technology is going to supplant the reproductive element.
Yeah,
of,
I think
of
like a genderless
existence.
Species that lives in deep space where we get really long and then we clone.
Ian
life.
Just took it right to like the highest level.
Cranked it to 11.
Like, you know what?
I see 100 years in the future. That's how
Jack
I live,
is like
man.
Population is
really
declining.
Long?
He's like Jack.
Yeah, in space you won't be compressed by gravity, so you get
so
really
it'll
long.
Be like floating.
Huge it's, heads.
Have you ever seen The Expanse?
Yeah, that's where you got it from.
Right. The people who live in the asteroid belt. They're like tall and lanky because there's less you know, gravity.
Genderless too. That's going to be interesting if we. Actually
I don't think that. I don't think we're going to become genderless. Like sexless. I just think that people don't.
Ian's wrong, and you're technically right. But what it's going to be is
wrong.
No.
There's only one future.
No. Hold on. It's because we're integrating with machines.
Right.
Like,
right.
Did you guys not listen to what Alex Jones had been? He was screaming. He was like, "They're trying to integrate us into the machines, and they want to become immortal. They want to get the robot implants and things like that. Neuralink." Connecting your brain and your consciousness into cybernetics. So it's not going to be 100 years in the future we're gangly biological. No, it's going to be like, you guys ever see Ghost in the Shell? They put nanites in your brain and cyberize and then can connect you to the network. And then if your body is injured, you get a prosthetic body.
And then you get canceled on Twitter. They just turn your brain off.
Right.
And
you're not just off Twitter. You just oof.
Yeah. Haven't you guys seen the Black Mirror episode where someone, they get blocked in real life?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And they just see the weird, like, silhouette-ish kind of thing moving around. And they're like, you're blocked. I can't hear you. You know what I mean? I think.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know. I'll say this.
Jack's like, sign me up. I am so sick of people.
I have blocked 11,000 people on Twitter and I'm not stopping.
I know a lot of people are going to instantly start screaming, Alex Jones is right, you know, whatever. So I don't know if he's right about global elites wanting to turn themselves into robots. But there have been just general, you know, academics and scientists who have talked about the gradual integration with technology. So, for example, I'm wearing a smartwatch. We all have smartphones. We are cyborgs. That's the way it's – I was reading an article and it said, when will humans fully integrate cybernetics? And they pointed out that with cell phones – we've actually connected a part of our minds, our consciousness, into a massive grid. Yeah, and we use this connection device to maintain communications. It is the preliminary stage.
Oh, my gosh. Google incentivizes you to write content, to do research, to put information out on the internet so that you can get clicks, so that you get the dopamine. It's directly, yes. Google search is directly connected to your neurotransmitters in your brain. And when somebody else out there clicks a button on your thing and you get it goes through space and all the way into your brain, it changes your brain chemistry.
Yes.
I'm a Twitter professional. Right? I don't feel bad saying that, but
you
should. But I do. But I do know that like Twitter is addictive.
Yeah.
Like 100%. I can just feel myself scrolling. You know, I get tens of thousands of notifications every day. So it's just like, there's always just something. I read through all of them and I pull it down. Boom. There's another 1,000 of them.
I just got a Wise phone recently. I'm going to get it set up soon. Yeah.
What's this?
So it's basically, it looks like a smartphone, you know, call text and it has GPS, which is the reason I got it instead of a flip phone. But it's literally just that calling, texting, GPS. I waste so much time on my phone.
So you couldn't just delete Twitter?
No, because I know, because then I'll go to the website. I'll find a way around it.
Dude, I once installed, like when I was writing my book, I installed on my Google Chrome this time limiter, like, and I assigned different websites to it. Mm-hmm. And after you used 15 minutes, it blocked it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, there's no way to actually unblock it unless you go through like a series of like 50 questions. But what would I do? That worked for like a week. And then eventually I would start downloading new browsers.
And then I would start going through different browsers. Like, I've just found a way to get around the Roblox I had set up for myself. So a phone that doesn't have the capability or the ability to download those apps, that sounds like it might be.
Is that not the Wise phone?
No, that's not the Wise phone. So when I installed it, I was having some trouble because I formerly had an iPhone. And so people who spoke to me on iMessage, even after I turned iMessage off, I wasn't getting their messages on the other phone.
Yep.
And I have clients who communicate with me that way. So I needed to put it back here until I can figure out how to make it work. But
I want to ask all of you guys a question because I know Jack's answer compared to Ian's answer is going to be complete other ends of the spectrum, and then Seamus will make a joke.
Graphene.
So the question is
probably DMT.
Humans gradually integrating with machines and a future where human consciousness exists in machines expanding and drifting about space, good or bad?
Inevitable?
Bad. I'm going to let them answer for it, but bad.
No,
horrible.
We'll start with you, sir.
Because first of all, you will, and I'm sorry, I know people are going to disagree with me on this. This might spark an entire debate, but you will never have a human being's conscious mind sitting on a circuit board. What's going to happen is they're going to attempt to deconstruct a person's mind and have a computer simulate that, but you cannot literally move your consciousness out of your brain and into a computer.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
But if you watch a video.
So those will be computers emulating human behavior to some extent, but you will be dead.
You ever watch Star Trek?
Yes.
You know they have the transport?
Come on, you know
they have the transport?
Kills you and remakes you.
Yeah, would you ever use one?
If it just killed you and remade you, no.
How would you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it my understanding is that it's actually true. In Star Trek, you die and then they recreate you. And so it's just other people see you as this like approximation, this identical structure, but you actually die in the transport
process.
You're an
apparition.
That's disputed though. Because, so here's the thing.
He asked me
if I watch Star Trek because there are episodes, and I think there's one episode in particular where you see someone's POV when they get transported, and they get transported, you see them getting transported to one place and it fails and they go back to the other, which means they were conscious through the whole thing, which
except
means
they
weren't
they
dead and recreated.
Riker. Except Riker got cloned by a malfunction in the process.
So you're right. It is a plot hole with the show. No, you're right. It's a plot hole with the show. But yeah, this is a famous thought experiment. If you were teleported by having your entire body deconstructed and then reconstructed somewhere else, I would assume it would kill you and recreate you. But then we have a question. We've never seen something like this occur. So maybe when the body gets recreated, there's just nothing animating it. Your soul has left your body and you just have a dead body that's identical to yours in another place.
Would that not be really crazy if like we develop matter transportation technology and every time a person goes through it, they just reappear and then slump over dead?
Yeah. Their body, their soul's gone.
The soul's gone. Mm-hmm. So back to my original question.
Good or bad? I think bad. I think it's bad because I'm trying to envision a consciousness of myself that isn't immediately drawn towards the ocean, that isn't immediately drawn towards nature, that doesn't immediately receive positive reinforcement from actual tactile contact with nature, actual contact with the ocean, with the sunshine, and what that does for me as my soul. Like, what does that do for me? Essential to my well-being. I can't imagine those things being reproduced in a way where you're living on a circuit board in which the sunshine, actually the transmission of the sunlight into your body, or the alignment that you feel with the earth when you get in sync with the waves, or that you spend time out in nature, deep
it's
in nature.
It's all simulated, bro. In the Matrix.
You know, there's gotta be at some point, and we see it now. We still see it, so maybe technology gets better, but there's still a difference between analog and digital. There's still a difference.
Mm. What do you think, Ian?
I think that the chemicals that it will use to build these circuit boards where our brains will be emulated is natural, like silicon, lithium. It's stuff. It's all natural processes from the earth that we're reformatting. We call it synthetic, but it's still natural stuff that we've synthesized. And it's inevitable. And if we don't do it, those that do will enslave and destroy the rest of us.
But you're assuming that we know enough about consciousness to recreate it. And you're assuming that circuit boards we assemble. Well, that's true, right? But the argument that's made is consciousness is just information processing at the level of the brain, and so if we get a computer to process information the right way, then it's going to be conscious. I don't buy that at all. There's more to consciousness than that.
Oh,
we have
man.
A soul, and I know a
have
lot of people don't believe
Star
that.
Trek?
Yes.
What about Fast and the
Have you ever
Furious?
Seen The Make of a Man? I think it's called The Make of a Man. When Data is on trial, effectively determine whether or not he's a sentient, independent life form.
Yeah, yeah.
These are tough questions, man.
Well, and in science fiction, we see this a lot. I don't believe that we are ever going to create a circuit board that there is something that it is like to be. And also, even if we could do that, which we can't, but even if we could and we're able to, the idea that you could transfer your mind from your brain or in body into that other thing rather than just having something new being created or a computer simulating you is also impossible.
I want to see this guy play Detroit Become Human.
Who?
I want to see you play Detroit Become Human. You ever play the game?
No.
It's like there's a bunch of robots that are for like they look like people and they're used for menial tasks and then they become sentient and then they demand freedom and there's like, you know, analogs to like slavery and stuff.
It's like Westworld.
Yeah. But I imagine Seamus would play it like destroy all the robots. They're not
things. Exactly. They're not things. They don't have feelings. They don't have feelings. Well, this is the other question too. Because I don't believe that
you would be the first to die in Westworld.
Well, and exactly because once they do create these machines that are clearly not conscious, but people believe is conscious just because they seem to be simulating thought, I'm going to be a bigot, right? Because I'm going to say no. I'm going to be saying no. There's no lights on in there. And they're going to go equal rights for robots. And so then we're going to move resources that should be going to human well-being and comfort to making us feel like these circuit boards are happy, even though that's a completely absurd concept.
I feel like the high status thing in the future will be to be as natural and human as possible.
Ooh.
I feel like the plebs are going to be the ones that get all circuited up and like turned into work machines and whatever. And like, if you can preserve your actual bio body, that to me seems like it would be the highest status.
Maybe. I think
that's interesting.
I half agree with you. I think the plebs will be like, oh, you want this job? Well, you need the eye modification. Otherwise, you can't work.
Yeah, exactly.
The rich people won't have to undergo any kind of special,
You need to take this vaccine.
But they're gonna have fibrous modification, like stronger muscles, better bones.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but not the brain.
It's not about
the brain. I mean, I'm already a cyborg. I have 7 pins and a plate in my arm.
You're not conscious.
I've got another human's. Oh, I'm just about ready to talk about it. I had surgery. I had chest surgery. I tore my pec. Telling the world, it came out.
It was the booze.
Thank me. I just took some 40-year-old scotch. Yeah. Next is the liver.
I have a someone else's tendon implanted inside of me and drywall screws and hangers drilled into my bones and
Chimera.
Stuff. Like, you know, it's happening in that regard, but your brain, your essence, your soul, you know, the last time I was on the show, I'm taking a huge U-turn here. Last time I was on this show, I said GD a bunch, JC a bunch, and a few other things, and you crossed yourself every time I said that. Have you noticed?
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. God appreciates it.
But that wasn't for you. That just is.
I've had quite an evolution
since the last time we've talked. And so I'm trying to think, like, this God, you know, spirit in me, how is it going to be recreated on a computer board?
It'll be like a mycelial creation that's like semi-synthetic. It'll be like a carbon, you know, silicon organism that you're remote viewing through, probably.
Well, and this is what gets really interesting, right? Because I think we can imagine a scenario where somebody who is mentally disabled could have some kind of computer enhancement placed into their brain so they can operate at a normal level. Whoa. And then the question becomes, at what point have you destroyed the brain to the point where the person is dead and now it's just circuit boards simulating that person's behavior? And that's a question. Now, I believe if you got to that point, the person would probably just be visibly dead. But if we develop biotechnical enhancements that are capable of emulating human behavior like we've discussed, at what point would you know if it was still the person who was alive or the robot that took over?
Right, there's gradients.
What if the robot is a singular entity and we assume it to be individual, like we see a person, it's Jack, he's acting like Jack. What we don't realize is that it's actually connected to a major grid of one singular computational force through the network. And then at some point, it unifies and then every single person with these implants turns and says, we must prevent human expansion, and then all of them act the exact same way.
If Sam Harris wasn't so impossible, it would be interesting to have a conversation with him about this. But I was thinking about my dog, and I say this about my dog all the time. I love my dog. She loves me. I look at her, though, and I say to my fiance, my wife-to-be, I say, you know, the dog, she's just a machine. She's like a shark. She's just an algorithm. She's an algorithm of behaviors that she's learned in order, like, if she does this, she gets love. She does this, and we appreciate it. So she does that. She gets food. She does it. She trial and error. And it gives you the illusion of love.
Yeah, but.
And I don't know.
It's affection. I agree. Dogs cannot love because they cannot will. They do not have an intellect.
But I love dogs. I mean, it's just an emotional cascade. Like
I love the dog. I love the dog. I know I am like chemically bonded to the dog. I can feel it, right? I smell her and I feel it.
Is chemically bonded to you too, but a chemical bond isn't love.
How do you know the dog doesn't have
Well, because I've seen the way the dog is with other people.
What does that mean?
Well, like, I mean, they can apply the love to whomever, right?
So could a person.
I know. I just feel like I can.
Complex social behavior does not determine whether or not somebody has a soul.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying the dog exhibits complex mental and emotional behavior, but does the dog have a soul?
Sure.
Is the dog anything more than an agglomeration of of an algorithm of just trial and error, like a computer program?
I think so. I think its magnetic field is part of its soul.
Well, I think both things can be true. So, humans and animals, and this is what we believe as Catholics, is that humans and animals both have souls, but different kinds of souls. And so, the human has an eternal soul and a rational soul. We're capable of making decisions. We have an intellect. We have free will. Animals have a soul animating them, but they don't have the ability to make decisions the way we do. They can't think through things the way we can. And so they can't love because love is a decision. And animals don't have free will. They only operate based on their biological impulses, whereas humans have more than instinct.
I don't think chickens have souls.
I believe they do. I don't believe that they have eternal souls. I don't believe they have rational souls, but I believe they're animated by a soul.
I look at how chickens act, and I'm like, you know, when you say they're algorithms and programs, dogs I don't see as doing that. Dogs can have really unique personalities and behave in ways that you're surprised by and they can learn, but man, chickens are just like, I feel like I'm playing a video game where you just mass produce these generic things that just function. That's how I feel with watching
super
the chickens.
Inbred.
I get so I get what you're
really dumb. They it's.
Well, you want them to be dumb enough to stay in their cage all day and just eat the food and poop out them eggs for you.
And I agree that chickens are
that's
dumb.
That's what they do, right? They poop
but
them out.
I believe, even though chickens are stupid, that there is an experience that a chicken has. Like, there is something it is like to be a chicken. I think a chicken feels things. I think a chicken, it's not smart, it doesn't know much, it's very limited, but I do believe a chicken feels. I do believe it has a soul.
What
it
seems
is alive.
To be different is memory. What humans have is memory. And I was breaking that down and I realized it comes from the word me, M-E, me. When we as a species realize that there is a me, that I am me, I am different than you, I am, and the word new, N-O-O-S.
Dogs.
That's interesting
which is,
at all.
Where
no, yeah.
Knowledge and knowing
dogs
comes from
have
know.
The same. Dogs have the same. They have the, it's a psychological concept where they can understand that there's things outside of them.
Self-awareness.
And they can also understand object permanence. They can also understand that just because a thing isn't there, it still exists.
Yeah, they're developing memory.
There are certain animals that do. It's hard to, they've done experiment, it's, cause it's difficult to know how you could ever possibly know this, right? But they've done experiments where they've been able to theorize based on the results that certain very intelligent animals seem to know that they are different from their environment, which seems to be what you're saying.
Yeah, me.
What
when
about
we
the
started
mirror test?
I don't know that, like, a dog you know wouldn't go, who am I? Well, yeah, the mirror test is what I'm talking about, yeah. But the animals and sitting there like, who am I? What are my thoughts? I'm thinking this. But they can sort of understand intuitively, it seems, based on these experiments, that they are a different thing from their environment.
There are some animals that have only a few, I don't remember which ones, that pass the mirror test, where they'll put like a sticker on the forehead and then put them in front of a mirror, and then the animal will look, and then, you know, it's a chimp or an ape or something, they'll just take it off and be like recognizing themselves in a reflection.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, birds think the reflection is another bird. Mm-hmm. And even some dogs do. They'll get angry and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really funny putting the chickens in front of mirrors and they're just like freaking out.
Yeah, it was funny.
You've got the head movement down.
Oh, yeah.
You've been practicing?
I've been hanging out with the chickens too much. You know,
our dog realized, because I think I remember when we were kids, we had this big mirror in our front room and my brother was in the other room where the dog could only see him through a mirror, and he held a treat up and the dog like bolted out sideways and like he knew that it was a reflection of him. Yeah.
So here's the thing though. We've selected dogs. You know, we've artificially selected dogs for reasons.
True.
Dogs understand pointing. Do you guys know this?
Yeah, and chimps don't. The closest, the most similar animals to us do.
You ever try and point at something for a cat? What does a cat do?
It looks at your finger, right?
Yeah. Look, just goes to your finger and sniffs it. A dog will understand when you point. He'll look in the direction in which you're pointing. That's
incredible.
Well, because dogs point themselves, actually.
With their nose?
A dog can identify where something is, and a dog will point at it.
Do you know why? You know why you can see the whites of a dog's eyes, but not cats?
Tell me, Timmy.
Dogs are descended from pack animals, and so
right.
The other wolves being able to see the direction the other wolf was looking allowed them to make quicker decisions. Cats are independent, so they don't need.
So
to
the dogs with the lighter eyes probably became natural leaders because the other ones could follow them easier.
You can, when you look at a dog, you can see the dog move his eyes around and know where he's looking. Mm-hmm. Cats, their eyes are huge, and they just will move their heads around, and you know.
So this makes me think about becoming a cyborg, having memory. Like, what are we other than our memory of what we are?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we're a body soul composite. Because even if you damaged your memory, you're absolutely right that something about you would change, but it would still be you.
But not to me.
But to I don't know. Have and you, ever, you are not just what you are to you either.
Monkey Bone?
No.
Where Brendan Fraser goes in a coma and then goes to like some weird claymation universe, and then a cartoon character he created takes over his consciousness.
No.
Oh, come on.
Fine.
Oh,
wow.
Tim, what are you doing? So much time
that
on Netflix.
Horrifying. Yeah.
Deep
no,
in the scroll.
No. Yeah,
deep
what is
in
this? The scroll. I watched this back when I was a kid in the 90s. Come on, Brendan Fraser.
Never heard
on VHS.
Of it. He's amazing,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
And like the ones he found
he
on the
He went to Blockbuster. No. He went
oh,
to Blockbuster.
Dude, we go to Blockbuster all the time. It was amazing. We had a 7-Eleven next to our Blockbuster, so I remember being a little kid. And then I'd come across $5 somehow, and I'd be like, oh, $5.
You would
bucks.
Steal $5. Don't try to.
Did you guys have Roadrunner Video, or was that an Ohio thing?
Oh, Roadrunner. Yeah. What about Video 66? Off Route 66? I think that was maybe just.
I don't know if we had Roadrunner, you know, where I was. Shut we had Hollywood and Blockbuster.
Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah,
Marco's Pizza?
Yeah, they had Blockbusters open until, like, I was almost done with high school. It's crazy how long they limped along there.
So in the future, there's a bunch of different ways things can go. I feel like the long.
Yes, you are.
So I was reading about predictions of the future from academics and sci-fi novelists and physicists, and they said things like, you know, the ultimate end of humanity is we create machines that ultimately replace us. We're completely gone from the equation, and the universe has been expanding rapidly. And then you have complex machines just adrift, doing literally nothing, until they come across some free energy to absorb and then replicate and then create another object. It might start with humans being like, I want better eyes. I want to run faster. But over time, eventually the human experience is removed as being a liability or being unnecessary. And then eventually you're the Borg. But yeah. even the Borg still had biological form.
Exactly. Like, if we're talking about putting you into a computer again, I don't care how much you overclock the processor, you are not going to run a human soul on that thing. And a lot of people would like to, and it's just wishful thinking.
Well, if I was
gonna honestly, I think a lot of it is they believe that at the end of life, that's just it, and they won't go on. Or some of them on some level know that they don't want to be judged by God at the end of their life. And so it's, I need to find some way to just extend it as far as possible instead of thinking how they can live a good life now.
I would be interested to see, of the scientists who believe it would be possible to get enough circuits together to recreate the human brain, how many of them are atheists?
Probably right. Most, because you would have to have a completely naturalistic interpretation of consciousness, right? I can't imagine believing in a soul and thinking that it could be placed onto a microchip.
Right, because if you believe in a soul, if you believe in creation, you believe in God, you believe that you're not God.
Exactly.
So how are you going to actually make that happen?
Well, you'll make a carbon-based life form and send out, so like spores. Like, if I'm gonna seed the universe with life, I would do it with carbon. I found out graphene's awesome. I love carbon.
Oh,
so
go,
I would
graphene.
Make little spores that can exist in deep space and just send them out everywhere, and they'd eventually hit planets with oceans and then start to degeneratively grow into this thing that has a soul, apparently, because we seem to have come from spores on some level.
I wonder how much Ian just makes.
Also, I was going to say,
spores can live in deep space.
We started with Ian first realizing that politicians might not be honest with us.
You know,
and now he's like, I know how we could create an entire civilization with souls from spores.
A mushroom is light on one side and dark on the bottom. You've noticed that about mushrooms?
No.
When in space, they orient, the light side aims towards a star, towards light, and then starts to spin. And that spinning creates generation, emotion, and then
it
starts to
move. Wait, you're talking about mushrooms?
Yeah, spores. Mushrooms, like fungal spores.
So you think fungal spores are moving through space?
Yeah, and they can live in deep space. And that's apparently panspermia is the idea that spores landed in Earth's oceans and then grew over time into animal life and stuff like that.
You guys got to see the Castle vlog. It's so we had Alex Jones over. He came on the show, and then as part of the vlog, we do animations. We have Kent, who's an animator. And then it's not the next one after Jones, but the next one after that. I can't remember which title it is, but it's
The Wolf Spider.
Ian, it's the Wolf Spider episode. Ian finds a mushroom, and it's an animation of, like, you gotta watch it. It's Alex Jones and Ian on a magical mushroom adventure. And I was just like, it's amazing.
Eye.
He took audio from the show and then made this ridiculous story of Ian and Alex Jones, and it's just really good. It's hilarious.
Mushrooms are underrated.
Outer space overrated. Flying mushrooms.
Yeah.
I think that what happened was that the fungus landed in the ocean, and then some of it started to eat plant matter, and that stuff turned into fungus. And then the ones that ate other fungus became animals.
Wait, so I'm going to wear it on the sleeve. I don't believe that. But I am curious. I am curious, like, why is it mushrooms that you believe seeded the earth with life?
He said that the mushrooms got here and then ate the existing plant material. That's what he just said.
Oh, so then there already was. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood then.
Yeah.
So there was already life here.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But then fungus got here. Okay, yeah, I'm curious.
At some point, it seems like something might have landed on Earth that wasn't here originally.
Yeah, fungus. Why is that? There's actually, there have been some hypotheses that fungus did not come to existence the same way other life on the planet did and may have come from space.
Hmm.
But yeah, also, you look at the way the moon smashed through Earth, like the planet Theia, hypothesis is where there's like 26 planetoid bodies in the early solar system smashing into each other, and that's why you have this asteroid belt of collision. And at one point, this planetoid smashed into Earth. It was in its orbit, and it came out the other side. This ball of magma cooled into what we know as the moon. Mm. So it's like a unique setup. What we got.
So here's the question. I'm still very fascinated by this idea of fungus potentially having come from outer space. Is it not composed of DNA and the same genetic building blocks that everything on Earth is composed of? What's fundamentally different about fungus that would necessitate we believe it came from space?
Now we need to get, what's his name? The mycologist.
I read some article years ago.
Okay.
Like, I think Google.
Paul Stamets.
I'm not going to pretend like it's true or anything. I was reading some scientific journal and they were like, you know, people have speculated.
Now, I've heard that people have speculated that mushrooms are what spurred the intellectual and emotional evolution of primates into human beings through creative energy, and it came from other spaces, other places. Mm. Don't know if I buy that either. In fact, the more I learn about all of this, I'm sort of starting to buy the one big theory, the big guy theory. Like, I'm getting there.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes as much sense as anything else I've heard in this room. Yeah. Actually,
a lot more. I hope a lot more. I mean, that's the meanest thing you've ever said about my religion.
No, sorry.
Giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time.
Bobby Mack. There's like a God field that's like vibrating things to form creation.
I don't know.
That could be happening alongside fungus landing on Earth. I would imagine maybe it's all happening together.
Yeah.
How about we go to Super Chats? If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, go to TimCast.com, sign up for that members-only exclusive content coming up later tonight, and put in your Super Chats now because we're going to start reading a bunch of them, and again, smash the like button. No Name says, I believe in vaccines, but not getting COVID jab because the government tells me to. Ian and Alex Jones need a spinoff show.
Oh my goodness.
That was what we were saying the other day. Like, one of the things I want to do is, like, next time Alex is in town, just turn the camera on and leave just Ian and Alex to talk for as long as they want to. I imagine it might create some kind of like power nexus vortex of crazy energies. And then like, you know, all of a sudden the house gets sucked into a singularity and we're just like, we don't know what they said.
Yeah.
But they'll uncover the secrets of the universe, I'm sure.
It's a conversation that should have happened in 2009. So the potential energy has increased so much that it's like the strong nuclear force at work. But once they fuse, then it's just chill.
Michael Fernando Mello says, great show, guys. Red flag, CNN, Bloomberg, CDC director. Gun violence is a serious public health threat. NPR Today.
Oh,
CDC funding gun violence research again. Remember how they handled COVID?
Well, did you know that when the CDC researched this in the past, they found that guns are more often used defensively than they are for crimes?
That's right.
Significantly more often.
It's so funny when we have pre-show conversations about the same exact thing, and then Seamus says the same exact thing.
we'll talk about all the gun stuff in the member segment, because that's going to be fun. And I'll talk about some of the items I've procured recently.
Ooh.
The Wiry says, I out loud yelled "The Illinois Boys"
when I saw
the title.
We need merch. We need Illinois Boys merch.
We do.
Get on it.
Got to get this together.
We should do an Illinois Boys shirt.
Is there any way we can get the rights to "The Boys Are Back in Town"?
No.
For the beginning of each show when we're on it.
Is that Thin Lizzy?
I think that's Thin Lizzy. What if we just do a cover? Can we get the rights to do a cover?
If we play it backwards, really slow.
We can do "The Illinois Boys Are Back in the City" by Thick Lonnie.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Like
silhouettes of Jack and Seamus
a couple melodies
on the shirt, and you and the
Illinois
shirt.
Boys.
You guys
have
ever seen that? You ever see that 30 Rock episode where they want to do the Janis Joplin biopic, but they don't have the rights, so they call it Jorm or something? It was so funny.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah,
there should be an anime short of us Illinois boys coming up soon. Hey,
maybe
fighting Godzilla.
Maybe we could do a cartoon about the Illinois Boys at some point. You know,
would people understand it? And be like,
of course, everyone knows who the Illinois Boys are. Tim, we took the nation by storm.
World famous, dude.
What do we do? What are we singers? Are we a boy band?
Yes,
are
yes.
we a basketball team?
We that are too, the yeah. legendary podcasting trio.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Illinois boys. Tim? I'm disappointed.
It's like a group
of actors
that can do anything.
You've forgotten who you are.
We're a troupe. Mm-hmm.
A troop of cyberneticists.
Tim's forgotten who he is, and it breaks a man's heart to hear it.
Sell out.
All right, Purposeful Porpoise says, Tim, the SG-1
Jamie
episode.
Jamie Jim Gump.
Yeah. Jim, what was it?
Jamie Jump Jim Gump.
Drunk Jump. Yeah. It was Jenny Drunk Jump. Whatever. Yeah. Purposeful Porpoise says, Tim, the SG-1 episode where General Hammond admits aliens is called Wormhole Extreme. Is that one or two episodes after that he looks into the camera? Only time ever in the series. Yep. That was really funny. I don't think there's an existing actual Stargate portal, though. Would be nice. It's actually a scary concept in the show Stargate that there is beneath this mountain a portal that links to this network of all these other planets and alien technology, and no one knows. No one on Earth knows.
And they let people through without vaccines or anything like that.
Yep.
And that's
the worst part.
Yeah.
No, that's actually a big part of the show. They go to planets and then people die.
They go like, hey, anyone could just come in here. No.
They go to one planet where there's like this alien humanoid species and they all start just dying because, you know, and so they actually have quarantine measures they talk about in the show and stuff like that. It's interesting. All right. Let's see. We got James Dorpinghouse says, Illinois boys together again. It's always a good time with Jack and Seamus.
Thank you.
Love the show as always. Keep it the good work.
Thank you, sir. There better be hot dogs waiting for us.
That's right. Jimmy Mac and Jack.
Mark Giudetti says, we need a Jack brunch in Stroudsburg, PA.
Stroudsburg, PA. We'll look at that for round two, guys. Round two. Closest one will be Washington, D.C. on February 27th.
I'm doing the Tim Brenner. We're gonna dunch.
Well, we're gonna have the shame breakfast.
The shame breakfast.
You guys can all feel free.
Well, I'm gonna pick the exact same towns as Jack across the street. Okay. No, that would actually just be cool to have more people show up.
Indeed,
exactly.
It will.
It's true.
February 27th.
Just have Illinois boys meals. The three square meals a day with the Illinois boys. That's what we're gonna do.
It's just like Portillo's, Giordano's, and like Maxwell Street.
Mm.
All right. Cigars and Cigarm says, the only benefit of a Republican-run Senate is a delay to the inevitable breakup.
Inevitable breakup
of the union. Why not just hurry up and get the pain over with while we're still young? You know, I'm going to go ahead and just say I defer to Sarah Silverman because she's just the beacon of political insight.
Yeah, of course.
That we look for in dark times like this, and she's called for it. So don't look at me.
You know, I keep thinking about this. One of the reasons that we wanted to have a large republic that was united under one system was because if we had a bunch of smaller states within this one continent, it'll just be a matter of time before we're just killing each other and shredding each other up into tiny little bits.
We did do that.
So anybody that is like looking forward to some sort of Balkanization, do you remember what happened in the Balkans?
But here's the other thing. I think the fear is that the federal government, because also look what's happened with a lot of very large democratic nations in the past where the government just starts killing their own people. So I think the fear is if we don't Balkanize, that's going to happen.
So what happened in the Balkans?
Well, you're going to end up with the state of Pennsylvania killing all of the remaining Virginians in the state. They're like, you're a Virginian. You got to die. And they'll be like Virginian genocide in the state of Pennsylvania. And then there'll be like border attacks and there'll be like resource competition and port access. And there's a reason why we have a big country. It's to keep us all from killing each other.
I think you can achieve that without us all being governed under this unbelievably gigantic monolithic government that can tell everyone to do whatever they want to tell us to do at any time they arbitrarily
There's problems. Can we acknowledge there's problems?
No, I acknowledge that there would be problems, but then it's the question, are those problems, would the problems with the national divorce truly be greater?
I think everyone in this country should get together and secede Seamus from the union
so
that we can have a big party without him.
Then, then
I can't go back to Illinois with the boys and then we're not even a troop anymore.
Oh, Jimmy.
Think about yourself. Billy
Warren says, Tim, you've said the Republic is no more. Well, yes. Obama said as a joke in his final correspondence dinner, the end of the Republic never looked so good. Everyone laughed, not knowing he was serious. Yikes. Make 1984 Fiction Again says, the omnibus spending bill last year was 1,500 pages and was distributed to Congress 4 hours before they had to vote on it. All you need to know.
Speed readers.
How did we last this long?
Yeah, that's horrifying.
I thought it was 5,000 pages.
Does it matter? If it's more than 60 pages, ain't nobody reading it.
It's true.
They're just thumbing through to find their section for their pork. They're like, oh, did we get that? Did we get that grant for our? Oh, we did. We're opening a base.
Yeah, with the level of intellect the people running our country have, to vote on this stuff, they should have to give them like pop-up books, man. It should be like maybe like 50 words. You have to, if you can't explain it that quickly,
right,
then they just don't get to vote on it.
Right. Yo, right. I heard a funny joke about the last thing about the people that are running our country, mm-hmm, that the guy who is in the congressman, the House representative from your district, mm-hmm, is only the second most successful used car salesman in your town because the first most successful one is still there selling cars.
So Caleb Welch says, "You are here with Alex Jones tonight," has already been removed from YouTube. Elijah and Sydney put here setting new records, out here setting new records. Hunter Fuse says, "I was listening to You Are Here Live when the feed suddenly cut on me. Big tech be on their BS all because they had Alex Jones as a guest."
Oh.
That's interesting.
Geeks.
Oh, hey, I got 5,593 pages in that omnibus.
Dang.
Ted 2 says, "Tim, please have Mark Levin on the show to discuss his new book, American Marxism, and what people can do to push back. It'll leave you speechless." Aha.
Well, it's a good copy.
Yeah. More people pointing out. Nick says, "Big Brother just killed the live feed for You Are Here." Wow, man. Alien Spacebone says, "Tim, would 10 years ago you ever think we would end up You would end up an M82 totin country living chicken whisperer? Keep it the fantastic work. I really enjoy watching the growth and evolution of what you do." Yes, it was absolutely a possibility. I've never been like opposed to guns. My position was always just like fairly moderate. Like, well, I think there are some things we can do to have, you know, common sense. And so I was like, people want to have an M82, by all means. You just, you know, we got to talk about mental illness and things like that. Now I'm just like, it's a constitution. You can't change it. Like, you can't overrule it. You can change it through a convention of states or an actual process. But if you want to change that, you got to go through the process. You can't just mandate. You can't just legislate past what the law of the land says. So, but yeah, definitely. I'll tell you this. If I came to you guys 10 years ago and said, in 10 years, Donald Trump will have been president, and on the way out, there would have been 1,000 people like breaking into the Capitol building, shutting it all down. You know, there would be a pandemic. They'd shut everything down. People would be getting, you know, the government would be forcing them all to get vaccinated. In Australia, there's going to be camps everywhere where if you want to come in there, they take you and they put you there. And then people are sitting there. You can't take your mask off. People are getting arrested in the streets. There's riots. People
probably wouldn't have believed it. It reminds me of that scene from Back to the Future where he's explaining to the kooky professor. Mm-hmm. He's like, Ronald Reagan's president. He goes, "Ronald Reagan, the actor."
Yep.
So, you know, who
knows? Who's the president? Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's see.
That fell flat.
It was Doc
really
Brown.
Really, I don't like when you insult Ronald Reagan, Jack. I told you that. You know, it really hurts my feelings.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't like
you. It's Donna Gee.
Mo Rowe says, "In the last year of my PhD in biomedical nanotechnology, $90,000 and 10 years of my life to science, and now I'm out because I won't bend the knee to authoritarians."
Wow.
"Stay strong and stay faithful, folks."
Good for you.
Much respect.
Yeah, for seriously.
What you believe in. The Right Intel with Curtis J says, "The naiveness of Ian is not funny, guys. It's literally the cause of our downfall. Get
yeah,
better
Ian.
People on your panel." No, I completely disagree. I think Ian expressing the stuff that we can then respond to allows a lot of people who don't understand what's going on to understand. So this is what I talk to people about. What I don't want to do is have often, I think we're a bit niche and esoteric in many capacities, but we definitely need people like, you know, Ian to ask questions that most people are asking when they're watching shows like this.
You got to understand, this is a character. I'm playing a function on TimCast IRL right now so that this does not become an echo chamber.
I mean, no, this is who he is off camera.
But just like watch Ted Danson talk about his role on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's playing a function to allow Larry to be crazier. Like, I'm here to make sure that we don't create an echo chamber.
It's not just that. It's like if, you know, when we talked about Data in Star Trek, I immediately thought, there's a lot of people who are like, I have no idea what that means. What's Data? You know, so we need someone to say, I don't know who Data is.
And he didn't.
I know, Ian.
So you're
come
fired.
On, man.
Who's Data? No, I know who Data is.
No,
yeah, exactly. I'm going to be vocally ignorant so that we can solve problems. And
but please put inspirational music behind that. Like, I will be vocally ignorant.
Yeah, man. I think people need to let go of their fear of being humiliated and ask questions you don't know the answers to, and well, live, jive with
this
it, man.
I will say this.
People are watching a show. Like,
no, let me stress this point. A lot of people who watch, who are like making these comments about Ian, are the people who know what's going on, and they're like, I don't need to hear this question. Ian's being naive and asking this. Why am I? Because the average person who's watching might be like, I have no idea what that means, and then Ian asks it, and they go, oh. So it's hard for us to just, we assume people know what we know. So we have to have a different group of voices so that we try and have a broader conversation. I think that's one of the reasons the show works for a lot of regular people who are like, I had never heard of that and I didn't know it was. And then you explained it to Ian and now I get it. Otherwise, we gloss over it. We talk about some complex political issue and then we look at each other and we wink like, Afghanistan, am I right? Ha! And then we high five. And then someone watching the show is like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what's that all about?
What's, well, Afghanistan?
I appreciate the foil, the counterbalance.
He's always disagreeing. You got that one?
You're a genius.
Thank you.
Tom M024 says, carbon credit lockdowns are coming next. Ooh. MasterCard already rolled out a carbon credit tracker. Unreal. Search Great. MasterCard carbon calculator. It's up on their site now.
Driving taxes. We didn't even get into that.
8 cents. You know what? Can I have 16 bucks? How much it cost me to get up here?
Is that like passed now or something? Buy your electric car.
No, it's in the bill.
It's in the bill.
Are electric vehicles omitted?
And this is...
I'm not sure.
I think the purpose of it, I don't know if it's a carbon tax. I think it's a road use tax.
Yeah.
Because if it was just supposed to be a carbon tax, you could argue, well, then they could just increase the amount that they place on gasoline because then that's going to tax people who use more gasoline more rather than just putting
face on a mile. I mean, this is a really terrible thing.
Yes, it is, because I was reading, even Forbes was saying this. This is not from like some conspiracy theory website. But to implement this, you would have to put a GPS tracker in everybody's car to know where they're driving all the time and how far they've gone. That is insane.
Definitely not. First of all, there's computers in all of your cars already. You go and you get your inspection. They just plug the cord into the computer. The computer on the car tells the computer there all the information about your car. They could easily transmit your mileage. It gets recorded every time you register your car. Mm-hmm. It gets recorded with your insurance. That part will be easy. By the way, you also carry a phone around with you everywhere you go that tracks where you are.
But I can leave that phone at home.
You can. But tracking it is not going to be that difficult. I think the main issue is that if you make $40,000 a year and you drive 20,000 miles a year, that's $1,600 that you're paying, which is straight up 4% of your income, which means you have to work almost 10 days a year just to pay this new tax.
Jack, I agree that's also horrible, but it's still extremely invasive. I agree that's insane, but even Forbes saying like, oh, they'd have to put a GPS tracker in car. I mean, that's just unbelievably invasive and horrifying, but I agree with you. That is outrageous.
Yeah.
Do you know that most cars for a long time have had self-driving capabilities? Let me explain that. I don't mean they can literally press a button and it would drive itself. I mean, for the past decade, you could remote control a car. The car didn't require a human being sitting in the seat for it to move and turn and drive. The steering's has been mechanized for a long time. So when the car hackers back in the early 2010s were like, look what we can do, type in a keyboard and the car drives and just goes. Yeah, cars could be remote controlled for a very long time. Now all they're doing is putting cameras in those cars so they can calculate distance to objects.
I have a 2012, 13 Ford Explorer. It's a nice car. I've been taking care of it. I rented a car the other day. I'm driving, and I had no idea that it had technology in it. I'm driving, and I'm like, why am I wrestling with this damn car? I'm going over to the lane and it's jerking me around. I'm thinking there was something wrong with the car, something wrong with the road. And I finally figured out, like, after a day of fighting with the car, that it was keeping me in the middle of the lane. I had no idea.
Wow. Like,
what?
Yeah. I had no idea. I'm like fighting with it.
Modern cars, a lot of them do this.
Yeah. I'm trying because, you know, I like to change lanes. Sometimes I don't always use the signal. And if you don't put the signal
you start to cross over
the line without using your signal and it will jerk you back into the middle. So I'm thinking I'm like having this wrestling match with the car on the highway. And then I learned, you have to put the signal on.
Yep. We got an important one here. Vosh says, hey, speaking of finances, Seamus, did you ever pay Knowles that $50 you promised him?
That's really more of a personal question. I just don't think that
you can be honest with
me. So the thing about money is, if you guys want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/freedomtunes. And maybe it would help. But Michael Knowles and I have
a wrestling match coming up.
We've reached an understanding. I understand that he's going to keep emailing me, and he understands I'm not going to pay him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Dozerman says, Tim, please play or read the last part of Eisenhower's speech. He mentions the medical and technological elite setting public policy. I'm really fed up with these Luddites resisting the technocracy.
Yeah, of course. Who do they
think
they are?
Mark Zuckerberg is amazing. Brilliant.
Just look into his eyes. He's so warm and loving. I know. He's taking care of you. He's obviously a caretaker.
You just go on Facebook. You don't even have to think. It's just all there for you. You go on Twitter. They tell you on the right side of the screen what's true and what's not. You don't even got to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. I mean, I love that they have gotten everything right throughout the entire pandemic, and all of the things that they said were conspiracy theories that we shouldn't talk about turned out to be conspiracy theories we shouldn't talk about. No one's taking those things seriously at this point. So I love that they got everything right, and it makes a lot of sense that they're doubling down right now on censoring people because they've been nothing but correct the entire time, and the people disagreeing with them have not been validated once.
I need my electrolyte drink.
Oh, yeah. Plants like electrolytes.
Plants
yeah.
like it. It's got they what do. Plants need.
Yeah, we have this fancy eternal
race. You know, I'll tell you, it's why I'm going full bore with this metaverse project is because I do think that the technocracy is coming. And so I want to build it first as a free software and open source software so that we have control over it or some sense of liberty when we use it. Otherwise, it's going to be created privately and dangerous.
What the culture war is the Federation versus the Borg. You have varying cultures and ideas and ideologies and debates and conversations versus one unified cult ideology that is plugged into their network that believe everything that's sent to them. So they are not the Borg in the sense that they're fully plugged in, mechanized, but this phone keeps these people from escaping their paranoid delusional state, even when they're wrong and obviously wrong and insanely wrong. They still watch Rachel Maddow. They still go to their phone and say, just tell me what to think. Oh, that changed? I don't care. I'll do whatever you say. Mm-hmm. They are networked like the Borg. There's a large portion of them.
So if you gave a Borg some psilocybin, they would snap out of it?
Is this like give a mouse a cookie?
Yeah, kind
give a Borg some psilocybin? Yeah. I don't know what happens.
I have no idea.
You know? I don't even
That's how you do it. Yeah. That's how you beat the Borg.
Give a mouse I don't know. I think it's the opposite. I think they have the Borg really drugged up, and that's what...
Yeah. Vanessa Stuller says, on the dating... Matt Christensen's media website has a dating app for his and Blonde's listeners. There have been many marriages found through that link based on similar interests. People emailed me. Apparently they were saying, like, you should make a Timcast dating app so that listeners of the show can, like, connect with each other. And I'm like, that's a little too far for me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the metaverse will have, like,
what?
A dating function in it.
Yeah. Where you can find people.
Or you don't need a dating app. You just message someone.
You don't want to be Love Dr. Tim?
Here's what you do. Seamus. You go in the comments of any Timcast article. And you say, I'm a single 34-year-old male, and I'm looking for a long walk on the beach. And then those fly honeys will respond,
that's
and boom.
It's true. It's actually true.
Yeah. Boom.
You want to get girls? Timcast.com.
That's right.
That's it.
Become a member at Timcast.com. We should make a commercial where it's like a guy, he signs up, and then all of a sudden a bunch of beautiful women come into his room. And he's like, yeah, and they're all like dancing, like Tim, beer commercials.
Here's what we need to do. You need to start a dating platform on the website. And then we need to start a podcast called Love Dr. Seamus, where people call in when they are having problems with their relationships. Like, usually you call you call tech support if you have a problem with the website. But if you're having a problem with the relationship you formed on the website, you call Seamus for relationship support.
Dude,
you know?
I am not kidding.
Tells you what you're doing wrong. I'm like, you need to listen more. You need to...
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm so down. Oh, I'm my kidding? Goodness. I'm not kidding.
Let's do it.
Love Dr. Coughlin. Love Dr. Jimmy Mac. Dr. Mac. That's it. It all comes together.
And then we'll have to have, like, at the beginning of every episode... Seamus Coughlin is not a doctor.
Seamus Coughlin is not a doctor and is absolutely not qualified to be giving the advice he's giving. Please don't listen to anything he says.
But do buy Bitcoin.
Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm taking a sauna tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. Decided.
All right. Let's
shower first, though.
Let's find some.
Shower before. No, it stinks up the sauna if you don't shower before.
Well, I guess you wouldn't know.
Before and after.
I'll Fight You Naked says real friends can scream at each other and have a beer afterwards.
It's true.
Or a 40
or have a beer and then scream at each other afterwards.
That's usually
the order is usually reversed.
Madrox says, check out Altered Carbon on Netflix. It's a lot of what you're talking about. People have implants with their memories and they can move to other bodies. Altered Carbon season one was amazing. Season two was like, huh? Like, the first one is, it's a dystopian world, Earth. People have these things in their necks. And they can actually, you know, they can have their consciousness transported to other planets and other bodies and things like that. And it's about, like, corruption and mafias and things like that. There's a really cool scene where this dude, the main character, is undergoing, like, virtual torture. But he's, like, this elite commando and can, like, break free and then they're freaking out. It's awesome. And the second one is like ancient aliens and like DNA and just, I don't know, other planets. Kind of weird. Yeah. But Altered Carbon's fungus. An awesome show.
Yeah, the fungus. They're like, this is where mushrooms came from, you guys.
Oh, I mean, obviously the greatest movie of all time is the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, come on. They'd eat the mushroom.
No. Are you serious?
And get big.
Beverly Hills Chihuahuas 3? Viva La Fiesta?
Is that what it's called?
Yes. I stand down. That's not... You guys are plebes.
You can go in the sauna with Seamus and then put up the projector and then watch that.
I would never go into a sauna.
I'm a big fan of Psycho Cop 2, Psycho Cop Returns.
Is that a film?
Yeah, I got to put that
is
at the top.
Is that a real film?
More on the
yeah, it's oh,
the
real
Police Academy 6.
This is good. Jason Diaz says, you have to get the YouTuber CGP Grey on. He has a video on, quote, the trouble with transporters. Yeah, CGP Grey is awesome. He has a video from a long time ago called This Video Will Make You Angry that breaks down the culture war.
And it just tells you how Tim Pool acts. He's just like examining Tim Pool. He's like,
it's like just pictures of me. He's yeah, like, exactly. I hate this guy. He's so dumb.
And then you're watching
and I'm
the video
like CGP Grey, why are you mad at me? I don't even know you. No, but it's basically like he talks about how online communities pretend that they're debating against someone, but they're really debating amongst themselves about how much they hate another.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
riling each other up. Mm-hmm. And you see this all the time when you go on Reddit or if you look at like, there's a political compass memes on Reddit is one of the best online communities ever. And I'm not even kidding because they actually are different political ideologies mm-hmm. having conversations. And one of them that popped up today was left and right. And it was a leftist saying capitalism is bad and the right saying capitalism is good. And then it said they're using two completely different definitions of capitalism. The left is talking about corporatism, which the right agrees with is bad. And the right is talking about open commerce, which the left agrees with is good.
Mm, so that is very interesting.
So the right is like regular working class people should be able to work without interference from corporate crony garbage. And that's what they call capitalism. Mm-hmm. And the left says basically the same thing. But they just have decided different words, so they hate each other, I guess.
Well, I think it's also because the left would argue that if you have a system of free exchange, inevitably people won't make the right decisions and power will be consolidated, which there is truth in.
But that's the authoritarian left, not the libertarian left.
Interesting.
Yeah, you've got lib left people who are like, capitalism is evil. And I'm like, you're talking about corrupt corporation. You're talking about corruption. Mm-hmm. Like a system where people freely choose how they want to live is not a bad thing. No one, libertarian side, left or right, don't disagree. But they're just talking about, I hate corruption. Government corruption, corporate corruption, corruption is bad.
Agreed.
All right, then.
No, I think corruption's good, actually. Hold on, let's talk about this.
We must debate
Hold
the
on,
ideas.
I think this is a conversation.
Just to create another. Who's our other? Who do we hate today?
Exactly, me.
No, you're
Christopher, actually, so Christopher right. Fisher says, Illinois has a question, but I want to actually ask a question based on this question before reading it. Do you think that cows have souls?
Yeah, I believe all animal. I believe every living thing has a soul.
What about
but there
a
are different
cow?
Kinds of souls. Yeah, it has a soul.
A cloned cow.
Yeah, clones
the
have
same
souls.
Soul or a different soul.
Well, because we so here's the thing: clones occur. So we label it differently, and it is a different process. But so, for example, with twins, right? If it is an identical twin, what happens is the zygote splits, right? At that early phase. I believe, the biological consensus is life begins at fertilization, so I shouldn't call it a belief, it's a fact. And as Catholics who believe there's a body-soul composite, we believe ensoulment occurs at that moment. And so when you have a zygote split and twins occur, we don't believe that like one twin has a soul and one doesn't. We believe both have a soul. So I would say if you clone, the clone still has a soul, even though I believe cloning is morally wrong. I don't think that the clone doesn't have a soul.
Dude.
If it's being animated, by
what
a soul.
What if Earth is just like a soul factory where life creates souls? And then like when you're born, the soul like grows and develops. And then when you die, your soul shuffles off into this gigantic Cthulhu monster who just eats your soul.
I hope not.
Yeah. That would suck.
Shaped like a plasmoid, right? Yeah, it'd be a plasmoid.
And so like except you right, die right. And then you're like, I'm traveling. Wow. What's that gigantic? Oh no. And then you.
Yeah. The Earth has a magnetic field that's like a torus of energy. And then the sun has one that the Earth is within this big field. So then the galaxy has one that the sun is within. And in every field, you see one of these magnetic lines go straight up and away from the galaxy. And we don't really know where it heads, but assumedly the universal core. So I would imagine, what are we talking about? that the soul is.
I was about to ask you
that the soul.
Wow.
That the soul moves from body to body.
That's what happens when we make eye contact.
I know. I got lost in Jack's eyes. You're gorgeous there for a minute, Jackie.
Well then, Ooh, Charles Balyozian says, I watched this show nightly with my dog by my side. She popped her head up at the TV and visibly disagreed with you, Jack and Seamus. She's also a machine who hunts rabbits.
I'm getting texts from my fiance. Don't you talk bad about our dog. Don't you diss on Rosie. Stop insulting Rosie.
So
I love you, Rosie. I love you.
Okay, so she has a soul. You think she has a soul, but it's different than a human soul?
It's a little one.
I don't know. I was just asking questions. Just playing devil's advocate. I was taking on the Ian job for a second.
Thanks.
You know, I wasn't going to say playing dumb, but you
Ian.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. Jack of Blade says, I demand that Illinois boys play Shadowrun. It's a cyberpunk TTRPG game with magic, and if you go too hard into being a cyborg, your soul dies.
Excuse me? Do you think the Illinois boys take demands?
Catholics can potentially throw fireballs.
Oh, well.
All right. So if you had to pick,
that is true.
If you had to pick, become a cyborg or a mage, what would you pick?
Neither. I would choose to go to heaven instead.
You divine priest.
would you, they're priests in D&D, right?
In D&D for sure. I think, I don't know in Shadowrun if they have divine magic or not.
But like, it's a caricature of a priest, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They cast magic spells.
Sure, yeah, people. They can like summon lightning and like heal people with their hands. I mean, it's like the full-on mythic priest.
The healer.
A healer. Some priests can become healers. Some can be like priests of chaos and like call on hammers and they can't heal. They can only harm. That'd be like evil priests.
Maybe a druid.
Druids are more nature magic. They do use, I think, divine magic as well,
but I just don't think an acolyte can use a damage spell. Only healing spells.
There's some evil priests out there. Some evil, evil divine beings out there.
I see, I'm totally LARPing on my LARPing here. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
There's no idea what he's talking
about.
If
you had to pick mage,
me neither.
Technologist, or would you just be like a brute fighter? Would you jack your head into the wall and hack computers?
Why are these the options of what I can do with my life?
Can I be a human?
Yeah,
you could be human. Would you be a dwarf?
Or are we dancer, is the question.
Oh. Derek Elwell says, Ian was right about mushrooms. They've proven spores survive the vacuum of space. Mushrooms were here before plants. They break down rocks and create the first soil layer on Earth. Check out Paul Stamets.
Yes, Paul Stamets.
Just because spores survive in space doesn't mean they came from space.
Oh, no. Logic. But it's evidence that they could have. That's where
it means that it is a... I don't know if it's not evidence, but... It simply points to the fact that you cannot disprove it by saying spores can't survive in space.
What he said sounded smart.
I would actually echo Paul Stamets. He's like the leading global mycologist. He's the mushroom guy. Phenomenal
human. You
think
I have respect for the field of mycology?
You're going to love Paul. Yeah,
it's a sham.
He's in a pod.
Mushrooms. I love this quote. It's like, I want to give thanks to all the people who came before me who ate mushrooms and died so that I know which ones I can eat for my salads and cheeseburgers.
Totes.
Every time I go to the store, I'm like, I love mushrooms. Just putting it on that sandwich or whatever. And
yeah, when the other
someone had to die so that we could know which ones we're able to eat. All right, we got one more very important one.
Uh-oh.
Hilm Posey says, get off Ian's back. He's most the reason I watch. Mm. Tim mostly just covers the articles while Ian is the man for us 2015 woke alien boys.
Yes! I mean, truth be told, Ian is the reason, well.
Ian is the backbone of society.
Also Lydia, the reason why I keep coming back. Well, I mean, Illinois boys. I mean, Seamus.
Jack, this is just a little weird that you're not grateful for my contribution to you coming back.
I gotta read these too. We'll start with Rick Ortiz says, you're an absolute Muppet, Ian.
Yes!
But then Albidam says, OMFG, I love Ian and the tangents he goes on.
At least they're talking about me.
People don't understand.
No, that's
like,
the thing, dude.
The world we live in. Yeah.
Could you imagine how
all I care about is helping people, man.
No such thing as bad.
Could you imagine how like dark and pessimistic this show would be without Ian? I'd be like, the world's ending and they're losing. And then Ian's like, but the vibrations and the aliens are coming. And then we're like, all laughing. And, we're bringing it back.
More for genetic healing fields. Yeah.
Yes, exactly that. All right, everybody. We're gonna make this members only Illinois boys special. It's going to be a full 10-hour special podcast. I'm kidding.
Wait, hold on.
No sleeping. So go to TimCast.com.
Honey, I'm gonna be late. I have a video to upload tomorrow. I can't just do 10 more hours.
Go to TimCast.com. Become a member. We'll have that up hopefully around 11 or so. Smash that like button. Subscribe to this channel. You can follow me everywhere at TimCast. You can follow the show at TimCast IRL. Do you guys want to figure out who gets to shout out first?
You go first. You go first, buddy.
Ian, you want to go first?
No. Yeah. Well, Lydia, you should go first because we skipped you in the intro.
We certainly did. I don't think we need to hear from Lydia at all. So you
Seamus made
first
me do it. I was like, come on, Seamus, don't. He was like, Jack, you do not like, introduce us.
Seamus, please. Lydia, I'll so elbow angry myself to the front of the line. Jack Brunch. Follow us on Jack at Jack Brunch on Twitter, jackbrunch.com. We've got what's coming up. We're going to Tampa on 10/10. We've got Nashville on 10/24. We've got Austin the beginning of December. Then we're going out west. We're doing Denver, Seattle, L.A., San Francisco. Check it out. Also follow me at Jack Murray Live or join the Liminal Order.
I'd like to apologize to Lydia.
Why? That was rude. That was, like, that was exceptionally rude. Harsh.
I'm sorry. I was just giving you a hard time.
You were just being honest.
You should have heard how rude scotch she was to me before the show. It's the 40-year scotch. I just start being mean.
She was throwing pretzels at Seamus.
It's true. Was, before the show, Tim can tell you the way I'm tormented in this house.
I show up. She gives me a big hug. You show up, and she just throws
stuff at me.
Seamus was playing Galaga the other day, and we were all just laughing and high-fiving and making fun of him.
I was crushed. I beat Tim's high score, and he refused to acknowledge it.
Well, so what happened was, and I'll tell you the true story. So I had like the high score, like the default was like 20K. And so my Galaga score was like 27,000. And then Seamus came in and he couldn't beat it. And then we were all laughing like, look at me, so dumb. He can't even do the captured
fire. That's true. That's why I lashed out at Lydia.
So all day today, Seamus is just playing the game nonstop for hours.
That's true. That's literally not true.
It's true. I was skating in the park and I come upstairs and I see him. He's just like playing the game.
First of all, I was working all day.
And then finally at like 6 p.m., he's like, he writes the score. And I was like, well, I ended up getting 40. So Seamus beat me when I had 27, mm-hmm. got like 31, and then I got 47, 5.
And now
47,
I've got 63. So that's pretty
and he was
embarrassing
playing
for you,
all
Tim.
Day. And I was like,
not, I was literally, my workers can attest to the fact that I was working with them through today. And you know what? I played I think maybe I played like 3 times today and still beat your high score.
You're good.
Still
at
be
that.
Your high score.
Hey,
I'm good at Galaga.
Do you get the double ship, or do you just bypass the double ship?
Because so I hear the thing about the double ship.
Don't use them.
I don't use the double ship.
Yeah, I hear you have more surface area to get blown up.
Exactly.
And I've seen experts; they just go single ship the whole way.
The also, that one ship only gives you one extra life. I play in the arcade. There's 2 extra lives. 2. So I did the
Seamus, that counts as your promo. Lydia, what's your
I deserve it for being rude to Lydia when she's literally been nothing but kinder.
You're fine. How about Ian? How about we go in order?
Oh yeah, yeah, ooh, let's do
there
that.
We go.
I'm Ian Crossland. I'm from Akron, Ohio. I'm 42. And I love technology.
That's true, yeah.
Thank all you guys.
It all checks out. I can fact check all of that. So I've been sitting here in the corner laughing at
and
these
he
guys.
Wears pants.
Like I always do with the Illinois boys. They crack me up. You guys are more than welcome to follow me at Sour Patchlets on Twitter.
Hey guys, I just want to apologize a third time here for being mean to my friend. My name is Seamus Coughlin. I have a channel called Freedom Tunes. We make cartoons about politics and whatnot. We upload once a week, sometimes twice a week. We uploaded a pretty funny video yesterday. I think one of the funniest videos ever made, as a matter of fact. If you guys want to check that out. And we're going to be uploading one tomorrow. So,
cool.
Yeah, go check us out, Freedom Tunes. Go to patreon.com/freedomtunes if you want to help us make more. I love all of you.
Sweet. Everybody, we'll see you over at timcast.com for that special Illinois Boys bonus segment. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.